Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Send up all fat men, send us straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron.
And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No, you're just smart enough and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Oh my goodness, what a show this is going to be. What a week this is going to be. I don't think I've ever remembered a time since I've been with the Patriots during the regular season where it's been so exciting and so crazy at the same time. 6-1, best record in the NFL. That's exciting. You're seeing the emergence of these young guys that we were hoping that, you know, would perform this year and saying that they had to perform in order for the Patriots to do well. They're doing it. But then all this other craziness, Randy Moss and Logan Mankins and, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. It's all Patriots all the time. I mean, it's a sports fan's dream. It's a sports talk radio host's dream. You know, I'm dreaming. It's unbelievable.
About Geno? No, I think you're right. The Patriots are at the center of the NFL universe right now.
Yeah.
From a scandal standpoint with the Moss thing, but from just a football standpoint as the number one team in football.
And you know how I like to go through games and just rape and pillage other teams? You know, we went through Miami. We had their special teams coach fired. We went through San Diego. The next week they had a blackout because they couldn't sell enough tickets. I love it. I love it. We're just like hurting, you know. It's great. Paul will have nothing of this. He's just not really into this at all.
Why?
Somebody
should have been fired in San Diego after that game, too. Forget the blackout. Yeah. Somebody should have been fired.
I'm on board with you. What are you talking about? No, I don't want no part of this.
You seem like a little distant.
Well, I was watching something on TV.
Oh, okay.
Fred, the latest in the Randy Moss situation. Have you heard that?
Well, I heard about the lunchroom
incident.
Yeah,
that he may have been cut because he badmouthed the spread. They have a local restaurant come in each Friday, and he ripped it and basically called it expletive and said,
apparently
he wouldn't feed it to his dog.
Just a mom-and-pop restaurant that was serving ribs and chicken and things like that, and he was pacing back and forth saying he wouldn't serve his dog this food. That's not nice.
No. Well, did you ever think he was nice?
I do think he's nice at times.
I've never thought he was nice.
Really?
You know, I've always said he was immature and not necessarily a criminal
he's
and a
funny.
Murderer. But
he's funny and engaging. I think his personality can be
charming.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think he's a nice guy at all.
Call me boss once. I like that. He won me over forever.
Never called me or Andy anything other than dog.
He called me homie once.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I always keep my word, homie.
In the hallway once he went, "What's up, boss man?" to me.
There you go. Yeah.
So that makes it okay to rip some lady's food and lunch.
Seriously, I don't know why he would have done that. That's not nice. You know,
no, it's not.
Someone comes in, gives you food, even if you don't like
it. Plus, he was looking at it. How bad can a a bowl of pasta be?
I heard somebody, you know, somebody explain it, you know, that he doesn't eat pork. Well, so what? There was other things there.
I also liked how the end of that story, whoever the rat was that told the whole story, ended up saying food was pretty good too.
Yeah. All right,
the Paul Perillo of the group.
Webradio at Patriots.com.
By the way, I had four plates.
Is the email address 508?
He can't get the.
Oh, the papers are gone.
543-7482.
543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. We'll be taking calls and emails. Already a ton of emails in, as would be expected with all the news going on. So
the big question.
Yeah.
Would you?
Well,
that's the question.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. The other piece of news that's out, reported by Schefter, is reportedly by Schefter in his report, that he
so
is.
So you're saying it's a report?
By Adam Schefter.
Okay.
Yeah. He's reporting, that Adam Mankins.
Adam Pac-Man,
Alan
Mankins.
Jones, no, Logan Mankins will report this
what the
week
hell is going on?
To the Patriots. So
today. Report today, yeah, to so sign his tender.
That's another question is, okay. Does he see the field right away? We'll talk about that as well. But just so much going on with the New England Patriots, besides the fact that, like we said, 6-1, the best record in the NFL.
All of football. Number one. Power rankings.
Right. Unbelievable.
As much as begrudgingly, see, people will have to put them atop their power rankings.
I'm not sure I put them up there yet, honestly.
Here I'm thinking the biggest Patriot hater has to put him up there.
Because Fred likes it
that way. And Fred says, I won't. So who's up there?
I think Pittsburgh might go, even though they lost to the Saints.
Okay. You know? So the Patriots are 2 in your mind.
2.
I have the Patriots 1. They have the best record in football. They've beaten good teams.
Right. I don't know how you cannot.
They've won at home. They've won away.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing Brady went through. Yeah. His whole rundown. You win on the road. You win away. You win when leading in the fourth quarter. You win when losing in the fourth quarter. You do everything. They're doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to give it to them. Right now, I mean, it's 7 games. They have to be number one.
So why aren't you, Fred?
I worry about Pittsburgh's defense against our offense.
Okay, so a specific matchup. But right now, they're the best team in football. You can worry about anything you want.
Okay. No, and
why are we talking you into the Patriots being the best
that's
in football?
Fair.
And Pittsburgh is worried about stopping anybody that can throw the football.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Because they can't.
And with Moss back on the Patriots by that game, that'll be a concern for them.
Yeah. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. All right, getting back to Moss, because that is the big story. Would you take him back?
Paul and I just argued this for the PFW TV trash talk.
No.
Paul says no.
And
Andy
I said...
says,
yes.
With conditions or just
well,
come on back?
Under the conditions of, I basically look at him as I looked at him in 2007. He's crawling to me. He's a broken man. Oakland broke him last time. This time, having to leave New England broke him. He realized what he had. I mean, he was basically choked up in that press conference on Sunday evening here at Gillette Stadium.
Right.
When he said, I miss the hell out of those guys. I miss you. I love you. He wants to be back here. So if he comes crawling back and you say, now listen, Randy, you understand.
Right.
You walk left one step when I tell you to walk right, and you're gone.
But, Andy, things are going really well right now.
Are they?
And Randy Moss can sit down and look you in the eyes.
You just got finished telling me they're the best team in football.
Listen to me.
And he says, are they?
We're walking a tightrope.
But Randy, you look Randy Moss in the eye. He looks you in the eye. And you say, Randy, you know, exactly what you just said. And he goes, I'm with you, boss man. I'm going to do everything you say.
Right.
Can you trust that,
yes,
though?
You trusted him in 07?
Do you risk screwing up what you've got going?
I don't think so. You can cut him at any time. Any time. And I don't get the whole Michael Felgers of the world who believe that everything has to do with Moss.
That's nonsense.
That,
I'm not on board,
you know,
with that.
Rob Ninkovich wouldn't have picked that ball up in San Diego had Moss been on the team.
Right.
And Ron Brace doesn't make a play on the goal line if Randy Moss is on the team. Like, he sours the whole thing for everybody. You know, every apple goes rotten when Moss comes near it.
Okay, so
I don't buy it.
So we all agree, I think, that we, you know, with when you got rid of Moss, it was going to take a little time for this offense to, you know, find its new legs, you know, and we're seeing that, I think.
Right.
You know, not to take away anything from Minnesota and San Diego's defense, but we're seeing a little bit of that. Now you bring Moss back, and now, okay, now we got to go back to the way we were. You don't think that that's any more of a disruption to the offense?
I personally don't.
What do you do with Deion Branch now? Who's not active on game day now?
Who's not active?
Yeah.
I don't know that it would be one of the receivers. And maybe Deion Branch when he's hurt, because he was clearly hurt on Sunday.
Right.
He had one catch, at the end of which he kind of limped out of bounds to the right there after that 21-yard gain.
Yeah,
he clearly was banged up. It just gives you depth. Julian Edelman, maybe he's inactive a week instead of having the baseball cap on the sideline. Or one of the extra DBs. I think you can manage a roster however you need to. But to me, this offense has been since Randy Moss left. Very much so. And
but it hasn't been terrible
broken.
Either. I just don't want any part of it. Well, I mean,
I think you've basically played like four quarters of good football in 3 weeks.
Yeah, they
on
have.
Offense.
It hasn't been great. I'm not going
to. I'd like to play three games.
I'm not going to make it out to be anything more than it's not. It hasn't been great, but it hasn't been a disaster either. And I think
why?
Because it just hasn't been. They've been moving the ball sporadically. No, I'm talking about offense.
If the defense
was playing
the way it was earlier,
I'm not talking about
the
defense. I'm talking about the offense.
I'm talking about the team winning games, and they're winning games based on defense. And the offense has not been the reason they've won games.
So where is the rule that says the offense has to be the reason why you win?
Where is the rule that says this defense is going to be the same the rest of the year? That this little stretch is what they are.
But that has
nothing
to do with Randy Moss.
That has nothing to do with Randy Moss and has nothing to do with the offense.
It's the balance we've talked about. The balance. If you're going to win games, you either have to be pretty good on both or really good on one or really good on the other.
But this isn't the case where the offense is not giving the defense hope.
That's my point. It hasn't been a disaster.
But the defense is giving the offense extra opportunities
to
win games.
Yes, and that's
okay. And they needed every bit of it.
That's good complimentary football.
Even out. I think the offense was a little bit more productive.
You've been as dubious of this defense as anyone.
They scored 28 points against one of the best defenses in the league last year, and none of those were defensive.
First of all, let's not get lost with Minnesota's defense.
It's a pretty damn good
defense in the league. Every team that we play has had the best defense in football. You know, not all of them can be.
Well,
okay, number one.
I didn't say the best, but it's pretty damn good.
It's okay. It hasn't been good this year, that's for sure. They have no sacks at all. They're last in the league in sacks.
Yeah, no pressure.
Sacks are
six sacks.
Overrated.
And in this case, we saw it on Sunday. They can't stop anybody if you don't get to the quarterback.
All right.
But my point being, I don't think the offense... Andy, you're making it out to be that the offense is going three and out every possession and punting all day.
No.
They've been sporadic. They've had drives, like early in the second half against San Diego, to close out the game Sunday against Minnesota, where they've looked good. They've had other periods where they haven't looked good. It's been uneven.
Right.
That I agree with. The defense has allowed you to go through some of those ruts.
Right.
But what's wrong with that?
Who says it's going to continue?
Why isn't it okay?
How come when people are dubious, now they think this defense is...
Who says they're going to continue to be sporadic on offense without Moss?
Oh, well, I think they will.
Well, okay. Well, I think the defense is going to keep playing well.
Okay.
And I think the offense will continue to improve.
Okay.
I do, too. That's my point.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not so sure.
If we can't be sold on the defense, and okay, I mean, gun to my head, they are giving up 400 yards every week. Sooner or later, someone's going to score 30 points on them.
And they're all young. We've now looked past that there's going to be a rookie wall for anybody.
But if we can't,
this defense is great.
If we can't say the defense
go back. You're the one that's saying the defense is going to be.
It's vacillating. It's unbelievable.
No, I said the defense was getting better, and we've seen that every week, right?
But now you think they're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
Because they're going to hit a rookie wall.
No, I do. I think these young players are going to get worn down at some point.
So basically, what everybody else thinks, you're just going to think the opposite.
Right? No, I'm going to use my eyes and use reality. When it looks like they're getting better, I'll tell you they're getting better.
Yeah, but when the argument was...
So you don't think it's going to wear them to play...
Better?
Ninkovich has never played in his career, and he's playing 50 snaps every week. You don't think late in the year
he could
stink?
Yeah, but how about the fact that they have 18 guys playing 40 and 50 snaps instead of just
11? But they have
11.
Guys that are key. Jermaine Cunningham has been key to this, and he is a guy who's a rookie. I have concerns of what he's going to be late in the year. Devin McCourty,
listen,
I have concerns of what he's going to be late in the year.
I'm not going to sit here and trumpet and say, this defense is rock solid. There's nothing else to worry about. They're going to still have some ebbs and flows. I know that. But why you can say that, I agree with you. But you can't say you think the offense will get better as they move on further and further away from the Randy Moss.
I don't really see any sign of it. Personally,
but they
really?
Haven't.
I see Wes Welker catching
Tell
8 yards
of pass.
Tell me
what the sign was.
I see Deion Branch becoming Deion Branch, which is a question to play every week because he's hurt. He's been hurt forever. I see Brandon Tate. I didn't see Brandon
what
Tate
was
on
the
Sunday.
Sign in the first
the
three
plays
games.
We wanted to see.
I definitely have seen signs that.
See, I have.
You know,
wait a minute. The offense has not been good.
No,
it's
but I've seen
how he jumps back.
No, but it's been sporadic at best.
Wait,
I said that right from the start.
I have seen signs.
Why can't it get
better? And now Paul jumps down my throat. The offense has not been good.
Well, what signs?
Okay. I've seen signs.
They scored 21.
He's actually arguing with both of us.
He's just throwing haymakers.
He's telling you the offense stinks. He's telling me the defense stinks. Like,
no,
I'm
not saying
on either side. Here.
I'm not saying the defense stinks at all. You're saying they're going to hit a wall.
I think the opposite. I think they will.
I don't understand why you can say that and not give Fred and I the thing that they will get better
on offense.
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Give me a reason.
All right.
Because they have Tom Brady, and as he gets more used to life without Moss, he'll get better.
That's one reason, okay? The second reason and is for the first time this year, we saw when they wanted to just run the ball, they were able to do it.
That's a sign.
Good, I agree. Tremendous sign.
You know,
for one drive.
I saw Danny Woodhead not just do it in one game, but do it in a few games now. That's a good sign. He's not a one-game wonder. You know,
now I'll say on Sunday they didn't play anywhere near as well as 28 points indicates on Sunday. That'll give you. They had two fluke touchdowns and one and another a third set up by an interception.
I saw Hernandez drop a couple balls, but then come back and catch everything that's been thrown to him. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm seeing signs.
Just so you know, and I know you're gonna yell at me because I can poo-poo any 8 point, but I lump him in with my defense thing. I worry that if he has to be one of the guys every week. Maybe at some point he's.
But he isn't. He hasn't been the guy every week.
He's been pretty close. And he's leading the team in receiving yards.
But that's also.
He's had a 20-yard catch every game.
I think that same point for the defense can be made with the offense. The defense, he's been rotating in. Sometimes it's Dane Fletcher or Serge or Myron Pryor. And everybody's been contributing. And I think the same thing can be said of the offense. They're not, other than Tom Brady, they're not relying on the same guy every game. You know? And I think that bodes well for the rest of the season.
I have a hold on a second. We'll get back to this, but I have a
breaking news
bulletin. Logan Mankins has reported to the team.
All right.
Now Fred wants to just bury him on the depth chart for a month.
This is an official release from the team.
Okay, so Logan Mankins has reported, and I assume he signed his lower tender because that was reduced. The 1 point whatever it
I
was
would
tender
five. Or something,
yeah.
I think.
So Mankins is back on the team. Things.
Who's not?
We'll find out.
Yeah, they
or
have
do they
to.
Get a waiver.
I think they probably get a week to activate him, right?
So we'll see what happens.
I don't know how the league doles those out, if it's automatic that you get the week or not.
That would be my guess.
Look, I understand when. Now we're switching over to Mankins, but I understand what you guys are saying. He's the better player. You start him right away.
He's ready, as long as he's ready.
Right, obviously. To me, that just doesn't feel right now. I think eventually he's going to be the starter. I just don't think right away, even if he is ready.
I think the first game he's active and in uniform on the field, he starts.
Okay.
I don't know when if that takes a week or 2 weeks or whatever, but I think when he's active on the field, he starts.
Well, what if that's if that's 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now, I think I'm right.
About what?
If he's not made active,
I think at most it's two. I think it's one.
Yeah.
I think when you play the Pittsburgh Steelers, Logan Mankins will be starting at left guard.
If he's not active, that means he's not ready to play.
Right.
Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Okay. All right. So again, a lot of stuff to talk about. It's great. 6-1. Logan Mankins, Randy Moss, Brad Childress, Cleveland coming up. Can't look past them, even though Pittsburgh is on the docket after that. Can't look past Cleveland. They've got a good defense. And, you know, we're going to talk about Cleveland. Obviously, we have all week. But I like this spot for the Patriots. And the reason why is it's not a trap game.
That's why I like them.
I like it because their defense is good. So it is a test for the offense. They're going to have to play well.
You're doing this again, aren't you?
Listen to me.
It's not the best defense
in football. That 26th-ranked defense.
Let me finish. Look, they're winning games because of their defense. They won't.
They're not winning
any games. They won two games because of their defense. And I think it's still going to be a good test. But at the same time, I think it gives the defense a little bit of a break. Because I don't care who's quarterbacking, the Patriots should do well against that quarterback. Whether it's Wallace or Delhomme or Colt McCoy, I think the Patriots defense should do well against that. And I want to see them, how they're going to do against a less than, you know, average offense. I think they should feast on these guys, and I want to see that. But then I think it's still a really good test for the offense, which I still think is trying to get in sync. So it's a good game. It's a good spot for them.
I think it's a great spot for them because I think Cleveland stinks.
It's a
good place to play a road game.
Were you telling me last week that you thought Cleveland was going to a tough game?
I think it will be a tough game.
Okay.
Because their defense is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think both sides of the ball they are. How did you put it? Less than average?
Cleveland's defense is better than Cleveland's offense. I will agree with you on that, but good.
Okay.
Now maybe it's a result, we'll see when we watch the game. Maybe it's a result of them being on the field too much and their offense doesn't score and they put too much pressure on them, but statistically they're not good.
Yeah. And you got Eric Manganini, and he knows a little bit about Bill Belichick. He has beaten Bill Belichick before. It's not out of
It's another reason to like the spot for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeannie's beaten Belichick before. I don't expect that to happen again.
Right.
Not this week,
right.
Anyway.
So, really interesting stuff. League-wide, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. We just filmed a show. I talked about Shanahan taking out McNabb. We can talk about that. We'll talk about what's going on in Dallas. You know, there's just so much going on in the NFL. A lot of teams.
It's amazing. The NFL at large is amazing.
A lot of teams in turmoil. Thank goodness one of them isn't the Patriots, and we're on the other end of the spectrum.
So who's the first
everything
coach?
Is just falling in our, you know, our way.
Well, a lot of it is what we've always talked about, coach and quarterback.
Sure.
All these controversies and teams that are blown up, it's either the coach, the quarterback, or both as to why it's happening.
And can you guys agree with me on one thing?
No.
Belichick knew what he was doing when he said, I'm going to spend more time with this defense this year, and made himself defensive coordinator. It was a good move. He knew what he was doing. He wasn't adding on extra work. He knew this is what it needed,
I don't have enough information to actually.
You don't?
No. I don't know.
Okay. That
I don't
the know defense what, needed him more than the offense? Is that what you're saying?
You
yelled at me. Matter of fact, it went on for about 45 minutes about a month ago that nothing has changed with Belichick. So I don't have enough information to really accurately make this.
I never said that he didn't say, and he is, in fact, spending more time with the defense. And I think that was a good move. I don't think it's a dumb move not to bring in a defensive coordinator. This is what the team needed. He knew he had a young team. He wanted them to get his message, not some other. And I think he's doing it, and it's working. And, again, in Bill we trust.
I'll agree with you, Fred. I'm always with you.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address.
I'm not against them. I just don't really know.
508-543-7482. The results are on the field. So we should probably get to some emails because they're just coming in fast and furious on all different.
Wait, would you take Moss? You never answered.
No, I wouldn't.
And we need to point out that you were the one who brought that question up first, pregame against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's the story of the whole issue, Fred,
it's a conspiracy.
Fred knew about it 3 hours before Moss went to that podium.
I didn't know anything about it.
Are you sure?
I told Paul this morning, this occurred to me Friday night when I was driving home because I was thinking of guys like Randy Moss and Randy Moss himself. When things go bad, they start to distance themselves from the team and the players. And what I expected to see in this game, if the Patriots took control, was him doing it on the sideline.
But he's only been there a month.
Right.
How did you expect that he was going to become available? And you're asking Paul and I in the press box, say he becomes available a little later in the season, would you take him?
Because I just had the feeling that he was going to do that. I didn't expect the post-game press conference, but that's what he did. Instead of doing it on the sideline, he did it in the post-game press conference.
He certainly did distance himself from the
team
in that press conference.
You know what this
It's hard to tell which team he was on.
Oh, it was treason. I mean, if he was a Patriot.
That's another reason why I wouldn't have any interest in him.
I mean, Patriots fans are kind of laughing about it, you know, and because he was praising our team, it's okay. But, my God, if he had done that to us, just coming from another team, he'd be – the fans would have, you know, run him out of town.
You'd criticize him either way because you criticize players like Lauri Malloy who love their new team and say it's a family.
Right.
And now you're criticizing the guy who says he left the great team and the family.
But you know what Moss did to a 10th degree? And it reminded me, it's what Ty Law and Lauri Malloy did when we lost to the Jets back in
98.
And the Jets were having all that great time on the other side of the field. And they were like, we kind of want that. You know, they wanted Bill Parcells back. That's what those immature players do. You know, as soon as things go wrong, we want what those guys have. And I knew something like that was going to happen with Moss.
And by the way, I just want to – we started out with the negative comments from teammates, the rats, as Paul calls them, in Minnesota. There were some positive ones, guys that didn't think he should have been cut.
Yeah.
One comment I heard was that he's still smarter than any coach on this staff.
Well, that's not
saying
much.
And that's a guy
much,
who's still on the Vikings.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not like it
he had plenty of defenders.
Right. And – I just want to make that clear that they weren't all kicking him out the door. Some of them seemed to, like he was here. When he was here, he had praise.
One of the reasons why the Patriots had to get rid of him when they did is because he is so well-liked in the locker room. He is an influence on a lot of these guys.
And now they broke him down, and you can bring him back.
I just don't know, Andy.
No
you know, I love in a best-case scenario, I would love that, you know, and – all of a sudden, you get your deep threat back, and everything's and life is great.
And you have Deion Branch now. You have Welker and Branch. You have Tate a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
You have a defense.
But it's a risk.
A third-round pick.
And right now, things are going good, and I don't know if I'm willing to risk it. Take that with your biscuit.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
Speaking of biscuits,
All right.
Where's our biscuits?
Webradio@patriots.com. Hey, on the phone right now is the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Hey, James.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
What's up, James?
Is it me or is the league just crazy at the moment?
It's ludicrous. It's nuts.
And I was thinking, even like ridiculous catches that like bobble off five people and someone else catches it. This weekend there seemed to be about 20 of them.
Yeah.
The TO touchdown and a load of others where the balls just seemed to hit about 15
Brandon
people
Tate, big
and
play.
Went up in the air and someone scored.
The fat guy who caught
McCourty,
it on the deflection.
The McCourty interception was
caught
by
Harvin.
Craziest year ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. And all the coaches seem to be going mad as well. I don't know which one's weirder. Probably the Shanahan one. I really can't understand that.
I don't either. I mean, you know, Shanahan, if the guy, first of all, if he doesn't know the two-minute terminology, why is your starter?
Yeah.
So, and obviously, then he backtracked on that and said, well, really, it was because he was out of shape.
Cardiovascular.
Yeah.
Why is he out of shape mid-season?
I don't know if there is one reason why Rex Grossman would be better than.
Right.
I can't even think of one scenario.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, when you have a head coach whose offensive coordinator is his son, I think there's an innate need to protect your son. And, you know, maybe if Kyle Shanahan is saying, I don't like Donovan, you know, it comes out that way that I need to protect my son, so I'm going to side with my son.
I'm not sure putting Rex Grossman on the field is ever protecting your offensive coordinator.
No, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, because what were your thoughts on how they dealt with Haynesworth?
Yeah.
Do you think they were right in the way they treated him?
Well, that's another thing. You know, obviously,
there were aspects of that that I don't think they were
right.
Right.
Albert Haynesworth isn't exactly the model citizen,
no,
but there's a way to handle that. And
that whole conditioning run thing, if you remember, they kept changing it.
Right.
Yeah.
He would run what everybody else ran, but then he had a different one that was more difficult.
It's about Shanahan. He's the show.
Yeah.
And by the way, the conditioning run is so important, but your quarterback midseason is out of shape.
Exactly.
How did he get on the field if he's that in terrible shape?
Right. Right.
And everyone was saying yesterday, it's not as if the two-minute drill is something they practice all the time.
Yep.
I'd be interested to see, you know, how many snaps Rex Grossman got the previous week with the first team doing the two-minute drill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't have been, Lord knows what's going on there. It seems strange as well. I've always had the impression that the Patriots have kept the locker room and the players on quite a tight leash. It's quite a strict regime. And it's almost as if the players prefer that. They seem to... You know, the ones where they maybe have a bit more leeway and it's a bit more relaxed, that just seems to invite trouble and things like that. I don't know. But.
I think there are players who don't like that short leash.
They accept it.
Yeah.
I would say.
However, you know, I've been told by more than one person who've been in the league for a long time, these guys are dogs and they've sensed fear. If you don't sound like you know what you're doing or you don't know what you're doing, they sense it and they will go against you in a heartbeat. And all their lives they've been told what to do, when to do it. And it's not always a good thing when that stops.
Right. You know? I think it makes it easy. If you're in a player that can accept it, I think it takes all the responsibility off
your
shoulders. I'm not allowed to talk about anything. I'm
right.
not allowed to say anything. Don't ask me. Ask Bill.
Yep.
To me, that makes it easy.
Yep.
It's removed from your plate totally.
Yep.
Yeah, I think with most players, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Yeah.
If you just box them in, they've got nowhere to go, and they know it's better that they know what they can't do than what they can do.
But,
that's right.
But
if
James,
they can't do anything, then fine.
Yeah. But James, that comes with also success.
Yeah,
when you're constantly telling them what to do, what they can't do, and you're not winning, then it starts to not work. But when you have the credibility of the belt, then, you know, you're more willing to listen to it. Plus, you have the older guys that are enforcing it. And those are the things you need on a team.
This is the other thing as well. How good, and this may be, you know, maybe I'm totally speaking ridiculous here, but, you know, how good a coach is Shanahan? I mean,
I don't think he's a very good coach at all.
Quarterback and things like that.
I'm with you. James, I'm with you 1,000%. I think he's another in a long line of average NFL coaches who won two titles with John Elway and was placed on a pedestal that he doesn't deserve.
Well, here's one thing, though, I will say about Shanahan. Belichick, when he doesn't think a guy is a good coach, he won't mention the guy. And he has mentioned Shanahan many times positively. So
he invited him here.
I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. He has been. And he has given the Patriots trouble when he was the Denver, even after Elway.
But being a good offensive coordinator doesn't make you a good head coach.
No, he doesn't.
And having a talented football team and giving teams trouble doesn't mean you're a good coach either. He has exactly one.
As far as to say he lost Super Bowls with Elway. Not that he won them with Elway.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that if you look at him, the failures in Denver were with Dan Reeves, but he has one career playoff win without Elway as his quarterback. Yeah. It happened to happen against the Patriots, but I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a stiff. I mean, there are a lot of guys that aren't anywhere near as good as Mike Shanahan, but I don't think he's on that upper level that he is.
I think
sort of
Bill respects him as an offensive mind. As a defensive minded Bill, I think he respects Shanahan as an offensive coordinator, offensive mind. I don't know that he respects him as a head coach, a talent evaluator, a full control, I know football kind of guy. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I
tend to think Bill respects history, whether it be good history, mm-hmm. bad history, and probably from his dad, he probably respects history and elders and things like that. So
yep.
He probably thinks anything that happened in the past 20 years ago is sort of a golden age where, you know, he was coming up in the league and things like that. And he probably looks back when he was sort of an assistant and coming up in the lead at probably, you know, he's probably a little bit more starstruck back then than he is now. He's probably a lot more reticent now. But
I think he recognizes nonsense very quickly, and he doesn't suffer fools. And you know, when some of these guys say and do the things that they're doing, he just you know, in the back of his mind, he's just like, what an idiot.
But I mean, we know Bill likes and respects Josh McDaniels. You don't think he's said a couple times with Josh in Denver, what an idiot, like what he's doing, how he's handling things out there?
Well, yeah, and I think if he was being totally honest, he would have said he shouldn't have gone over there.
Right.
He wasn't ready.
Right. But I think if he's totally honest, he might tell you Mike Shanahan is a great offensive mind.
Right.
That's it.
Yes.
Not a head coach, just like Wade Phillips is a defensive mind, not a head coach. And there's these guys that, you know, the Peter principle, you reach a certain
Norv
level.
Norv Turner, right?
Norv Turner. I think Bill respects Norv Turner immensely as an offensive mind.
Yeah.
Head coach, not so sure.
Well, I think offensive mind, you know, substituting in Rex Grossman in the last 2 minutes, I wouldn't say is a great offensively mind.
But that's where the lack of being a good head coach comes in, because you're trying to gain control, trying to send a message to a guy you're not having a good relationship with right now, and you're doing it the wrong way.
To me, that was not about getting first downs and that drive. That was
a guy coming off cold on the bench going to help you? In a guy named Rex Grossman.
Yeah. The game wasn't over. It seems a bizarre place to teach a lesson.
That's what I'm saying.
You're down by two touchdowns.
You're trying to win the game.
Yeah.
That's not the time to send messages as the 2-minute drill in a game that you can win.
Evidently, this isn't the time to speak.
there was a high likelihood that Grayson would totally screw things up, and therefore the message would be lost.
Right. There's a very high likelihood that when Grossman throws the ball, it could land in the other team's hands.
And you're strengthening McNabb's position, and probably McNabb's position with the other players.
Right. It was a bad move.
He fumbled. Yeah. He didn't throw a pick.
You want to make that move, you do it on Wednesday.
Sure. So.
And if he's made, you know, cardiovascular, make him run laps or something.
Right. He's always been fat.
Yep. All right, James.
All right, guys. I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for lunch, as always. James Pettigrew, the world's most interesting Patriots fan. And we mean that.
It's I actually think that it had something to do with the Shanahan thing, with McNabb's just his overall reputation and the hurry up. He's not been – I mean, we go back to the Super Bowl that we all remember with Philadelphia, but even this year – I don't think that that's a strength of his. I don't think that he is
good,
best in that scenario, where most quarterbacks, 90% of quarterbacks, seem to play better in that kind of a scenario. He seems to play worse. And it's not about pressure. It's about preparation and getting in the right spot and using the clock management and all that stuff. It's not pressure. Because, let's face it, these guys are under pressure all the time. You know, it can be the end of the first half, too. It doesn't have to be a clock situation that the game's on the line.
There's a lot to digest when you're in the 2 minute.
I just don't think that's something that he does particularly well with.
And I heard
he regurgitates it.
And I heard some mention that Shanahan wasn't even happy with the tempo that he has during practice.
Well, who knows what Shanahan? He said like three different things so far. So I don't know what the story will be tomorrow as to why he made this decision.
He's Captain Queeg, I'm telling you.
And that tan.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
All right.
Quick side note on the Moss thing. I don't know if you saw the statement released by Brad Childress. I believe it came last night about releasing Moss, even though I guess it's not official yet. I thought it was very interesting. best interests of the football team in both the short and long term
right.
was almost identical to the phrase in Bill Belichick's right. statement when they traded Randy Moss.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they cut and pasted it, or I find it hard to believe that Brad Chillis has long-term interest in Minnesota.
Well,
I think he's just about done.
WebRadioPatriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the ace ticket hotline. Should I take a break right now? Okay.
Yeah, we don't have food.
Kevin says, what?
Where's the food?
I'll wait. I'll wait till the food gets
here. Okay, we can wait.
Okay, we'll wait. Let's get to some emails. Hey, guys, and Paul, says Alex from Georgia. Great win by the Patriots this week. I thought they played their hearts out, especially in the second half. More whirlwind news with Moss being released. My question is, does this have any bearing on the third-round pick the Patriots got in exchange for Moss? I know the Vikings can't say we want our draft pick back. My question is more geared towards the official documents of the trade. Can it be noted in the documents that we will trade you said player for said draft pick, but the player must play through the season or anything like that? Not so much as a conditional pick in terminology. Of course, Bill didn't comment on it at one of his press conferences. And, Paul, you were right about something last week. I don't like you.
Yes, that's what a conditional pick is. It's not just whether it's a third, fourth, second, first. Sometimes it's a condition of whether it's a pick or not.
Right, but this was this conditional?
No. This was a third-round pick.
Not that we know of.
Minnesota cut him. He didn't retire or quit
if there was a conditional pick and they cut him, then you wouldn't get the pick.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of those training camp trades of kind of lower end guys are if they make your roster or if they're on your roster for 4 weeks, it's a whatever, 6th round pick.
Right.
Is usually the conditions. I don't know how many a lot of the conditional picks with good players involves third becomes a second if he catches this right. or if he plays this. It's
right.
It kind of increases, but there's a pick either way.
Now, we have a lot of emails, so why don't we just answer it all in one fell swoop for all those who are asking. One of you explain how the waiver process works, because that's a question of, can he turn down a team that gets him?
No.
How long does it last? How long? It's 24-hour period. Okay.
You should get
that check. So why don't you go through it?
Well, basically,
from the time the Minnesota places him on waivers, what happens?
Which will likely come today, by all accounts.
I have an email to find out when that will start and when it will end.
And then by 4 p.m. tomorrow, teams will have to have submitted their whether they'd take him or not. And it goes in the order of the record right now, starting with the Bills at 1, all the way through the Patriots at 32. And the highest team, which would be the worst team, the Bills, that says, I want him, takes him. They take over the remainder of his contract, which is $3 million and change, I think, at this point, for basically the second half of the season and the proration of the $6 million contract. And he becomes property of that team. Now, he doesn't have to show up. I mean, you could get into some sort of a scandal and Stephen Burbank, special master, will get involved. But basically, if a team claims him, he's property of that team. They are claiming the contract, the player, right. everything.
Now, in the event that all 32 teams say we're not interested, then what happens?
Free agent.
Then he would become an unrestricted.
And then
free
he
agent.
Can pick and choose.
So his contract is null and void.
Right.
He has to start from scratch.
And the reason Correct. He is on waivers, by the way, is that it's because it's after the deadline, the trading deadline. Had this occurred pre-trading deadline, a vested veteran like Moss becomes a free agent. It's the young players under 4 years that go to the waiver wire at that point. But right now, everybody's on the waiver wire.
Right. Okay. Sean writes in, take him back. He's talking about Moss,
yes.
provided that he is not a negative force in the locker room. But
yes.
how do you guarantee that?
It's already been that.
That would seem like a large
two different
provision in this deal, but
two different places within the last month.
Mike Reese is on my side, Fred. He says he had 3 points. One was he clears waivers. You don't want to claim him. You want to sign him. Two, that he takes a short money deal, less than what Welker and Branch are making, so that he falls in line. And three, you get the 2007, honeymoon Moss, where if you make one single misstep, you're out.
Right.
But Mike Reese is sort of, positioning the possibility.
Sean says, no one has any evidence that he was a negative influence. It's all speculation. He probably did complain about his contract and did complain that he wasn't getting any balls thrown at him. But after
can I just stop for a second there?
It's not great cash, homie.
It's not probably that he complained about his contract. It was a 16-minute ramble.
Right.
But he was never a problem. Not once in 3 years.
And I have evidence that he was a problem. Bill Belichick traded him.
Right.
That's all the evidence I need.
I have Bill Belichick's words.
That's a very good point.
Not once. The defense rests. 4 years.
Right.
Bill Belichick's words. Not once. I never had a problem with Randy once in 4 years.
Right. And I went with his actions instead.
I'm sorry. I take the head coach at his word. You can do what you choose.
I did too.
No further questions. Jerry, thank you.
I'm doing exactly the same thing you're doing. I'm taking the head coach's words.
I'm taking his words.
He traded him in the best interest of the team in the short term and in the long term.
Well, because he knew he'd be available in a month.
But what Sean is saying, he says, after Moss's pledge of allegiance to the Patriots, maybe he realizes what he is now. They can get him back cheaper, get a third-round pick out of him, and get him back wanting to prove himself. If he is negative anyway, cut him. Then he is done in the NFL. As far as waivers go, how can you be another team and expect him to perform for you? Didn't they see that post-game interview? That would be crazy. I don't think money is the issue here for Moss. If it was all a so-called business move, then the Pats would take him back cheap as a wise business decision. If they don't, then there was more to the story. And by the way, Indy and Pittsburgh are coming up. Wouldn't it be nice to have Moss and Branch wide, Welker in the slot, Hernandez, Gronk tight end, and Woodhead, Green Ellis in the backfield?
It's so ridiculous.
It seems like a lot of skilled players on the field at once.
Yeah, we can't have too many of them, right?
No. It seemed
like
it would
be
illegal.
By rule, you can't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It seemed like you had like nine guys plus an offensive line and a quarterback.
Not all at once, right? I don't know.
I think any team that doesn't have a relationship with Moss that takes him would be crazy.
I think a lot of
Kansas
people...
City, okay, somebody who knows him there, Denver. I think if you just blindly claim, like Jeff Fisher, from what I don't know if he has one, but if you blindly claim Moss, I think you're playing a dangerous game.
Well, I was talking to somebody today who, you know, has been in the league for quite a while and actually been with a number of teams, worked for a number of teams, and he said that, you know, when he was listening to Moss, he just had the feeling of a lost soul.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, things have happened to him in the past, starting with high school, that have shaped him.
Mm-hmm.
And what he needs is counseling. Someone, a professional who he trusts to talk to. Because the thing that I get is a warped sense of pride with this guy. Everyone has pride in themselves. But for him, it's a little bit warped in... I think he's seeing demons sometimes where they're not, and I think that it influences him in his, you know, his actions and his decisions.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue is. I don't think this is just football.
I think he's going through a tough stretch of life. I'm a great football player. People do like me, you know, like that Stuart Smalley thing. You know, I can be happy in this league, and, you know, it doesn't have to all be about me, but he just can't get to that place.
This doesn't feel like business to me. You know, he's said it a number of times, it's business.
I think
he's going through a tough stretch here of life.
Yeah. He's going through his midlife crisis at 33.
Yeah. Well, because it's a late life NFL crisis.
He sees the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a website out there, according to Lyndon in California, who's saying that, quote, the Minnesota Vikings will be filing a grievance with the NFL to get the draft pick back from New England. In this case, the NFL has 48 hours to review the claim, and if approved, the trade can be reversed, and Moss ends up back in New England. I don't think that that's true.
I think there's zero chance.
I don't even want to mention the website, because if they're just throwing crap out there, I don't want to give them any credit for it.
I mean, I could see a scenario with an original grievance in terms of the draft pick. Just I don't see any grounds for it. I don't see it getting held up, but I could see them saying this guy never wanted to come here and he was insubordinate, so we shouldn't have to pay it. But why would that make the trade null and void, and why should the Patriots have to take him back?
Right.
See, I don't think there's
they could dock him the pay that they gave
him.
I'm okay docking his pay, but Patriots traded you somebody, you said you wanted him, and then you played him four games.
Right, and you knew what he was getting. You were getting.
Even annul the marriage 78 years later?
You saw the thing he did after the Cincy game, so you know, right?
You knew what you were getting.
Yeah. This is from Ken Walter, who's writing us from premature retirement. He says, I know there's a ton of cover today, but I have a question regarding Childress's challenge of the Tate catch. I was at the game, and the only reason we thought it might not have been a catch was that the in-stadium video replay of the catch stopped abruptly. It was as if Doc thought there was no catch or was told to stop the replay. What happened? Did Doc bait Childress into a bad challenge? If so, nicely played.
I doubt it.
No, Childress is a moron. He got mad because they should have had an interception. He couldn't figure out how they didn't get an interception, so he said, we'll challenge that. You know, my only guess is that he thought that maybe Williams had the ball and it had his knee on the ground before Tate ended up, you know, getting the ricochet, but
I will say when I saw
close.
It live, I saw something brown flash as it hit the ground, and I think it was actually Tate's right forearm or left forearm went down, and it was just a flash as he hit the ground, and maybe he saw something like that and just thought, oh, the ball popped out.
But I mean, it was weird to me because it wasn't close. He was,
no, not on replay.
He was standing up when he caught the ball, and the ball wasn't close to the ground.
And he shouldn't be making a challenge based on something he saw live flash. He should have, either he sees the replay or somebody up in a booth says, okay, we just saw the replay, challenge it.
I would be very surprised if the head coach is using the message board, the video boards. I mean, he might be looking at that to see if he can get a look, but he has guys watching.
Right.
I mean, any team should be doing that. And listen, if he's doing it solely on something he saw on a video board, that's bad.
From what I understand, both coaching boxes are set up with like a DVR type device where they can go and go back and see.
See, my understanding was the exact opposite.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
What was your understanding?
That any recording device of any kind in the coach's box was illegal. That you see the TV feed and that's it. You see the angles in stadium. So I was under the belief you were not allowed to record anything and rewind anything.
So what are they basing their judgment on?
The replays.
The replays. And that's why you see people delay things and try to hurry up things.
Yeah, but don't you think then the league would tell the networks you have to show X amount of replays after every play?
It's not about... Yeah. See, this is the thing about instant replay. It's not supposed to be about, I need to get a second look at it as a coach.
It's, I'm getting
in
screwed.
In slow motion to see it. It's something you're looking at. I'm like, that didn't look like the right call.
Yeah,
I want,
you know,
I want you
screwed.
To take a second look at
I want
at
it
that.
Reviewed.
Yeah, but
I actually think there are too many replays shown too quickly.
He's right. It's not supposed to be freeze frame seven times. You make your decision whether to challenge.
Well, it should be live.
I mean, right. That's
just
why,
like the officials had to
that's
call
That's why
it.
Belichick had such a good point on that Adrian Peterson. If you can't see the ball and freeze frame with a goal line camera, how did the ref see the ball when he was doing it live action?
Because he makes a judgment decision, and you have to
You're
go
not supposed
he
to
He never
do
said
it.
That, though. That was a, did you see that in the transcript?
Yes.
In the press
he didn't
conference?
Say it per... That's what he meant,
No, I
though.
Know, but it was weird. Did you see that?
No, I don't know
what
you're talking about.
He went through the whole thing. He said... The question was, did they tell you that they just didn't see the ball, whether or not the ball crossed the line, so they had to stick with the call? And Bill said, yeah, that's basically exactly what they said. They had a look at it. They never got a look where you could actually see the ball in the not cross the goal line. You couldn't definitively tell. And then he goes, which leads us to the next question. And someone incorrectly said, should they have goal line cameras? And Bill said, well, no, they had the perfect angle. They had the goal line cameras, but there were too many bodies in the way. That's why you couldn't see it. And Fred's right. What he's getting at is, what did they call initially?
Right.
They called a touchdown. What
were
they
basing
see?
The touchdown on?
What he sees.
But he didn't see the ball.
No, but it's
see,
it's what he sees.
I think it was a touchdown, and I think the guy did see the ball.
So now you want the guy to wait until the back is 3 yards into the end zone and pops out of the pile to prove it's a touchdown?
No, but, you know, the old
Because there's a lot of times you can't see.
No, but the old saying is, I call it like I see it.
And he saw
it. If you didn't see it, you can't call it.
But why are you saying he didn't see it? Just because the replay didn't show it conclusively?
Because the ref couldn't have had a better angle than all those cameras.
Why?
See, I think he's
just couldn't.
He's closer.
He's closer. He's lower. He's right on the play.
No.
What do you mean no? How can you say no?
He couldn't have with all those angles.
He was 15 feet away.
He couldn't have seen it. I'm telling you.
But you think every touchdown that's ever been called, the guy actually saw the ball perfectly?
He should have. If he didn't see the ball cross the plane, it's no touchdown. End of story.
No, that's not.
If you don't see it happen,
if you see the guy go behind a wall at the goal line, if you miss a play, you have to call it.
Fred, that's just silly.
You're being a bit ridiculous.
Now, I would say this. If they called that no touchdown on the field,
it would have been no
it
touchdown.
It would have stayed no touchdown,
right.
Just like Bill said.
No,
I totally
true.
Agree with
that's
Bill
true.
On that.
But you should see the ball. Before
yes, they
you,
should,
of course
but
he
it's
saw
not
the
ideal.
Ball.
You can't get... Oh, I think it went over.
He didn't say that.
But they, Fred, you,
what makes you think that you're unsure
100%
on
the of the time, he can see the football perfectly. There are bodies involved. There are potentially 12 bodies involved. You know, half the offense, half the defense is between him and the ball.
There wasn't even a way you could guess that, well, X amount of his body's over there. I don't see the ball, but the ball has to have gone over because I know where he's carrying it. Ugh. It wasn't even that close.
So you're telling me if you saw the ball right up until the point where it was about to break the plane of the goal line, but you didn't actually see the ball when the guy continued forward, you can't logically make the assumption that the ball crossed the plane of the goal line?
And I think that happens probably every game, every week.
On short yardage runs on the goal line?
All the time.
If the part of his
body... There's a mass of humanity in there. How could you see it?
If the part of his body that is carrying the ball goes over and you don't see the... You can logically assume, okay, the ball's where I think it's going to be.
Let's put it this way.
That's what he did.
Touchdown.
That's what he did.
No,
do you think you could logically assume that play was a touchdown on Sunday? Really? You don't think that was a touchdown?
No.
Okay.
There was no evidence that it was a touchdown.
Okay.
Well, I need to pat ourselves on the back for a while. About 5 years ago, we told Doc and all his assistants at that point that a true, authentic foghorn here at Gillette Stadium would be tremendous.
For the lighthouse.
Quote unquote, true, authentic foghorn.
Those deep, whatever.
Yeah, right.
For the
lighthouse. Finally, they used it, and it was a big hit with the crowd.
Crowd roared every time.
PFW, right again. Next up, a mascot on a scooter shooting t-shirts into the crowd.
Okay.
God help us if we ever get fireworks.
Well, yeah, those probably come.
And the Rockets, right, Glip?
We had fireworks.
Yeah.
I blinked. I missed them.
By the way, those ones in San Diego scared the crap of me out of every time they did the fireworks.
Those were pretty loud.
Yeah.
It's got to be a happy medium.
Wait, the Revs have fireworks and the Patriots don't? Well, that's true. If you play them after every goal, you never have to use the fireworks. You can use the same ones over and over again because they don't score.
I had a cap gun in first grade that sounded louder than that.
And well, the Revs did this huge fireworks bonanza after a game where it was like 15 minutes.
That's
it was
what
like
minor league teams do, like
caps?
Baseball.
But it was like it was legit. Yeah. It was like 4th of July.
Well, I had those.
Yeah, the they don't use those that circles. Much anymore. Yeah, they come in the rolls of paper.
You had a real
gun.
Yeah.
You put it in the gun,
and you, it was like a real. You could go.
Yeah.
See, I was petitioning for you know, down in Miami, right on each side of the helmet. When they come out, they have those huge like blowtorch things.
Yeah,
that
I'd
shoot
take those
flames into the air. That's
I wouldn't
I
give
want.
Doc one though.
Just put Andy on all fours and feed him beans. That'll be fine.
Doc said that I would burn myself.
Yeah, and he would burn.
Let's see.
That wasn't very funny.
He would burn. No, I'm not. This isn't really a joke. I would never trust you two to be anywhere near those things.
See,
we wouldn't be. Well,
see
I would
Kevin
be,
running down the field.
I've seen you
flames.
Run a board. Supposedly, this is your job and your profession.
Yeah. See, every once in a while, always got to go into something personal.
DG personal and NJ guy. Says, "Hey guys, as we approach the halfway point of the season, I think no one would have predicted just about anything that has happened so far. And here's a few examples.
Oh, no, I had it.
One, we have the best record in the NFL. Two, Randy Moss isn't on the team. Three, Deion Branch is back."
That one I would have given a shot to.
Four, Kevin Falk, Lawrence Maroney are gone. Fred Taylor hasn't taken a snap since the first quarter of week two.
That part I would have.
And our running game hasn't been this good in years. I'm not sure about
that. The running game hasn't been very good at all.
Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is coming off a game where he rushed for over 100 yards, scored two touchdowns, averaged 6.6 yards per carry against a completely healthy Vikings front seven.
In a half, by the way. First time since 2002 they've given up 100 yards to an opposing player and a half.
Really, in the fourth quarter? It's 72 yards in the fourth quarter.
Well, last guy to do it, by the way, was Michael Vick, so kind of a fluky one. Not a running back handing the ball off and just running.
Five.
Very impressive.
Another one. After talking all off season about who would eventually replace an aging Kevin Falk, we found him, and he was on the Jets practice squad, and he's 5'7".
He's on the Jets,
Jets roster.
After spending all of the 09 and this season wondering who would fill the void left by Seymour, we found him, and it's Vince Wilfork. Our inexperienced defense that's starting more rookies and undrafted players than any other team is making plays and carrying the offense to victories week after week. Brandon Tate is coming off a game where he made two spectacular plays, had over 100 yards, and scored a touchdown, all as a wide receiver. Sounds even crazier when you call all this stuff out loud, but maybe in the strangest of years in the NFL, the team with the best coach can win it all. If that's the case, then I think I like our chances.
I hate to be this guy. It's usually Paul on this show, the wet blanket, Mr. Negativity.
You're a douche.
But I wasn't. Brandon Tate's day was great. It was a big part of your win.
Statistically.
But I want him to have a 65-yard touchdown where he runs a go route, catches the ball in stride, and goes 65 yards for the score. Not a broken play, which is the word Bill Belichick used, where the quarterback blindly rolls out, a pass rusher falls, he throws it up, and then he makes a physical play once the ball's in his hands.
He made a great play with the ball in his hands downfield.
He didn't do anything to, and his other catch, that was like a 30-yarder, right? 34?
32 yards. 32? Should have been picked up.
Was
not
an interception.
His fault.
He
not
bobbled
his fault.
It. No, but if I see him catch
bad
a third, I want to see him have just an in-cut or a slant that he takes 35 yards. I didn't think he did anything fundamentally and repeatable on Sunday. I want him to do things and make impacts as a receiver in plays that he can repeat week after week. And you say, you know what? Tate's starting to get it. Tate's starting to make plays down the field. I thought he had two fluke catches that gave him 97 of his 101 yards.
So I think it was a four-yard catch was the other catch, right?
So his catch of the day was one catch, 4 yards.
I'd like to see him do it a little bit more as, you know, part of a plan.
The play that's called.
This is what we
draw
what
it
we
up and
do.
Have it executed
like,
as they
even
draw
that
it up.
That first play, the one that went through Madiu Williams' hands. You know, they had a fake end around, I think, on that play. They've tried that several times this year, and it hasn't seemed to work yet. They haven't really gotten the guy open yet. And I'd like to have seen him breaking free 5 yards behind the defensive back on a play like that.
His great day was...
It hasn't happened. Now, I'm not criticizing Tate for that, but I'm also not ready to say, well, he's stepping up and emerging as, you know, a reliable target, because that's not reliable offense, and Bill said that.
By the way, who's reliable like it for big plays is Hernandez. When you have, give me five straight or six straight weeks or whatever he's done where he's had a catch of 20, 25 yards.
I'll tell you
that's
the play,
reliable.
The play that he makes that I think is huge is that wheel route. When he lines up as a
Hernandez.
Fullback.
They
have not, teams
but
have
he's
not
done it enough,
found
so you say,
absolutely.
He just does it. That's
teams
what
have not found a way to defend that play yet. And he's been very impressive on it. 27 yards on, 27 yards on Sunday. He only had two catches in the game for 33 yards, but one of them was a big 27-yarder. If Tate was chipping in like that, I would be more excited.
It's another topic we need to get to in the second half. Where has Gronkowski gone?
John in South Carolina. Hey, guys, and Eric had to go classic. can you imagine the hate the Patriots would get if Moss slipped to the Pats, then we let him go to free agency, pick him up off of free agency while Minnesota has to pay the rest of the salary? I like Moss as much as anyone, and I think his reputation of being a bad teammate is unfair. That being said, are we watching the end of Moss's career? Is he melting down to such a degree he has lost all of the good karma he built up with the Pats? I think I would prefer to see him go off and play with some other team and put up great numbers than self-destruct, providing said team does not stand in the way of the Patriots.
Just say, just out of curiosity, if the Patriots end up back getting Moss back,
he's still done.
So yeah, now he's
not. It just proves he can't do it anywhere but here.
But he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and then he leaves.
Yeah,
does that conceivably make us eligible for a fifth round compensatory pick? You know, two years from now, so you get a third and a fifth,
probably. But I don't think he'll leave. I don't think anyone will sign him after the year. If he say he came back here and has a great second half, he's got, you know, eight touchdowns. He catches a bunch of balls. He's a perfect soldier. All that proves is the only place right now he's capable of succeeding is with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and this team. It proves that you can't have that Randy Moss for your team.
David Northpark is wondering about Mankins, whether or not they'll receive him with open arms. I'm sure they will. He also wonders, is there more of a chance that Connolly might replace Copen or Neal, or will he sit?
Not Neal. Neal's been outstanding.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll replace Copen. Well,
Copen hasn't been very good.
He had a couple rough games early, but I think he's
had a rough game Sunday.
Did he really?
And there's a chance that he replaces Neal at some point for the injury.
He's still holding out for that.
No, well, you joked when the guy said Fred Taylor's missed, blah, blah, you know, hasn't been seen since week one. You're like, oh, I would have told you that. Well, we would have told him also that Stephen Neal's going to miss some time, right?
Yeah, but you're saying it before he misses it.
Well, it's what he does. Even he knows it. When asked about the 18-game schedule, he goes, I don't know, I haven't played 16, so don't ask me about 18. Oh. He knows it.
Oh, by the way, one thing about Moss that I do come down on his side about is this whole $25,000 fine that the...
Me too.
You know, first of all, you go to Minnesota, and the first thing those freaking media members do is complain that he's not talking to them, and he gets fined. I don't blame him for being pissed about that. You know, I just got here... You know, I, and now that you're already, you know, squealing on me to the league, and it cost me $25,000. I don't blame him for what he said about that.
Plus, by the way, I consider he talked to the media when Karen Garigian from the Boston Herald had, I don't know, six or eight quotes from him last week. I didn't know you had to make sure every media member was in attendance when you were speaking.
That's right.
He spoke with a reporter.
The thing that's weird is that. That was a big bone of contention here in New England, that he didn't speak with us. And I know they complained about it. I know specifically who complained about it.
Who?
I'm not going to get into that.
No, but, you usually just throw the name out there when I do that to you.
And I'm just wondering why all of a sudden the NFL decided to take action.
I also thought it was interesting. It seemed like his interpretation of the rule was, I paid my 25 grand, I'm done.
Right. If now, you keep doing it, you're going to keep getting fined.
That's what I thought, Goodell. Yeah. Okay, it's going to be 50 this week if you don't talk. And Moss seemed like he was saying, you know, I'm going to show them I won't talk ever again. But we'll never know since he's out of Minnesota now, I guess.
All right, we got a lot more to talk about. One thing before we go to break. Dwight from Alabama, again, I don't know the credibility of this, but he's saying my friend's sister works at NBC Sports, and she says through an anonymous source that Moss is back with New England. Do you know anything about this?
He can't be.
No, he can't be. And we know that he was in New England because Childress said he stayed behind. But
that's
not back with New England.
Yeah.
All right.
Childress said he gave him permission, too, right? To stay behind. Now, that
well,
may or
he
may
might
not
have
be
said,
true.
You know what Childress might have said? Why don't you just stay here if you're going to act like that? It might have come out that way, you know? So
kind of like I do with Sydney Hart when she's 1.5 and says, no, no. And I go, fine. I'm leaving. Bye. Yeah. See ya. I'm leaving you. About the same mentality, probably.
Mike from Charlotte says, according to John Clayton, if Moss clears waivers, the Vikings will have to pay him the remainder of his contract, and he can sign with any team he chooses for $450,000. He probably won't clear waivers, but who knows? There may not be any teams willing to pay $3.38 million to rent him for 8 or 9 games.
Yeah, I believe that 450 everybody's quoting is just the...
That's the minimum, right?
The veteran minimum, blah, blah, blah. He could get more if somebody offered him more.
All right.
He can create a bidding war.
It's 1 o'clock. Let's take a quick break. So much more to talk about on a very, very exciting PFW in progress.
When the boss says it... For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in progress.
You have to do it. PFW in progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Hey! Don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules.
Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member PIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay. Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out now.
In trays.
But, yes, but it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist... It doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
Really? Yeah, I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts.
Jesus.
the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Crazy times here in Foxborough. Also, best of times, 6-1, the best record in the NFL. And all the news is Randy Moss and Logan Mankins, who has officially reported. It's no longer a report, as reported by Adam Schefter in his reports. It is now official.
Mankins has reported.
Yes, Mankins has reported via a press release by the New England Patriots. So.
As reported by Paul Perillo first.
Right. So good stuff. Lots to talk about. Mike.
Hey, before you get to that, Freddie,
yeah, go ahead.
Mike Shanahan's troubles are over. Quarterback problems.
Tell me they cut McNabb.
They worked out Jamarcus Russell today.
Oh, my God.
Continue.
Imagine if McNabb got cut and Moss and McNabb were available on the open market.
Well, you wonder, is this a precursor to McNabb saying, I quit, or being released?
And interestingly, both, I believe McNabb's going to be a free agent, right? Both
yep.
are looking for contracts.
Yep.
So UFL just licking its chops, waiting for the next round of talent to hit their round.
Okay.
Did I try to make a joke or
I don't know.
I wasn't really
UFL's
joking.
UFL's a joke.
No, but that's where careers go to die, like Culpepper and Garcia and those types of people. And to me, that's the road guys like McNabb and Moss are going down. I don't know if Moss would play there, though, would he?
I don't think so.
No. Hard to be the show when no one knows the show
if he
exists.
Thinks, if he thinks the food in the locker room is bad in Minnesota, you should see some of those UFL teams. They're actually feeding
I love
them.
That voice, the way you deliver it. See some of those UFL teams. Sorry, I cut you off. They're actually feeding them.
Alpo. It's a certain cadence that you have to have.
It's tremendous. It makes me laugh every time. You, as they say about like hot women,
it.
You could read the phone book in that voice, and I would laugh.
Here we got the Anthonys.
It's funny.
I think Randy Moss could be playing in the UFL next year.
You think he would?
I think he could be.
You think he has money trouble?
He has something. He has something going on. This whole expanding my brand off the field. He has some kind of financial issue. This contract became awfully important to a guy who didn't have financial trouble.
But you don't think it could just be what Fred and I were talking about, kind of like a midlife crisis, and they measure their value in money and that whole
right.
pride and all that?
Yeah, and if no one gives him any money...
No, but
then
if he has
$50
million in the bank, maybe his ego still says, I need a paycheck of X to show people how valuable I am or whatever.
I know a lot of people think that he is really smart. I'm not one of them.
Okay.
I would be very much surprised if he is taking really, really good care. I know he has a lot of business ventures, and maybe some of them are really successful.
Java Juice or what? No, what was it?
Well, on the NASCAR truck thing too, right?
Yeah,
right.
I don't think that's a good business to try to make money.
He may be successful, but...
To me, that's a hobby,
not
maybe
an investment. Remember he signed up with Pony Shoes for a while, and that kind of went nowhere, right?
It's funny how he doesn't play out his contract anything, on and off the field.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And Chris with a TIAN from Boston's on the line. Hey, Christian. Hello. No, he's not there. You just told me there was somebody on the
line. Must have fallen asleep.
Or you pressed the wrong
button. He fell asleep or you fell asleep?
You pressed the wrong button.
No, he was there.
You sure?
A couple moments ago, yep.
All right.
So why did that clip stop short in front of Brad Childress's eyes? Accident or intentional?
Let's go back.
Somebody claimed the replay on the Tate interception/reception stopped dead short on the big board this weekend.
Probably did.
Okay.
I don't know.
Aren't you involved in that? Aren't you and Doc the guys that are a big part of that big board?
Yeah. That's true, but I'm not the director of event presentation.
Not my fault.
Okay. Mike.
It's not my fault.
Mike from Rhode Island, who's a transplant. He's now in Superior, Wisconsin, but he's a Rhode Island transplant. Says, Fred, I was just ready to listen to the latest podcast last Friday when suddenly Paul's voice magically filled my work truck. Since I know I didn't hit play on my MP3 player yet, it startled me to hear Paul's beautiful voice coming out of my radio here in Wisconsin. Paul, I was surprised to hear such high praise that you gave towards the Patriots as a whole, and may I say, very professional. Just so you know, Paul Allen and his co-host did rip you for your pick of the Pats once you were gone. They didn't have the kahunas to do it while you were still on the air. Paul, I was so proud of you representing the true America's team.
Well, now you're on to the
little
secret.
So you did a hit with Paul Allen there?
I did.
And
yeah.
Paul, when he is on in a representative of Patriots Football Weekly nationally, sometimes is more positive than he is on this very radio show. That's a little secret, a little dirty industry secret.
Well, that is true.
He plays, I'm the guy from the team paper, Paul.
Well, if I were going on with, like, let's just say for argument's sake, Paul Allen, I was on with him every week. Well, I might be a little bit more like we are on this show, but I don't know the guy, so I'm just kind of giving him straightforward opinions on what I think. You know, listen, Patriots are 6-1. It's kind of hard. And I don't know. Was it that outrageous that a 5-1 team playing a 2-4 team at the 5-1 team's home was I picked them to win?
I'm not talking about the pick. I'm talking more about your
Well, I'm tone. Talking about them ripping me for being a homer.
Well, they're just idiots. I mean,
which further proves the point that
aren't they the guys that were yelling, it's the Super Bowl for God?
One of my favorite clips ever.
But I
picked Miami, right? And I got yelled at.
Fred's mad because he wanted to start a new email.
And I'm mad because we're in the middle of talking about something and he has to cut me off. But just to prove the point, Andy and I get made fun of for picking Miami. And now we got made fun of for picking the Patriots. I'm going to throw Andy in because I know he picked the Patriots too. So further proof that no matter what we do, we can't win. Oh, woe is us. The only one that has it worse than us is Eric.
It'll take you quite a while to build up your credibility again, Paul.
One thing, Fred, I want to cut you off real quick. How much you've seeped into my mentality. I was driving in this morning listening to 98.5, the flagship station of your New England Patriots, and some in or out type thing. They were Celtics trivia. It was like an in and out or something. And which Celtic is the only player to have 100 rebounds, 100 assists, 100 points, 100 steals, 100 blocks? There was like 10 of them in one season. And the guy goes, Reggie Lewis. And all I could think of is your stupid Northeastern trivia brought to Bob Capodanno.
Last week's question and answer was Reggie Lewis.
I laughed out loud for like
was
5
that the
minutes.
Answer?
Reggie Lewis, yeah, was the answer. And that's why I laughed so hard, because the big announcer voice goes, no, Reggie Lewis. And I just, Fred just, you know, controls my brain sometimes.
Brian writes in, it looks like NFL.com was the one that had something on the grievance by the Minnesota Vikings. It was picked up by a variety of places, including the other website. The NFL has since taken it down. So there's some craziness going on.
I don't see what leg the Vikings have to stand on. I really don't.
Yeah. I don't either.
It would just be financial to me. A grievance for insubordination.
Sure.
That's it.
But that's Moss-related, not Patriots-related.
Right. I don't think it has anything to do with the Patriots. It's not the Patriots' fault that he didn't want to play for you because you guys are idiots.
It's not the Patriots' fault that you traded for a guy and he acted just as how he's always acted, immature and crazy.
It's the old scorpion story about the bear that helps the scorpion across the river and the scorpion ends up stinging him, and bear's like, I helped you. Why did you sting me? He goes, well, I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. You know.
You know.
Why did you expect me not to do what I do?
Thought we had something special.
Anyway, 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline. Chris from Florida is on the line. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good. What's up?
I was wondering if you guys thought there was any chance of the Pats picking Moss back up after being released.
Not really.
No.
But with a crazy situation like this, don't you have to leave at least a sliver of possibility open that, you know, everybody talked love after he left. Brady,
yeah.
Belichick, Moss, they all loved each other. They all said nothing bad ever happened, so he's available again. Who knows?
Do you think he would make the offense more, you know,
yes,
a better offense as far as having him?
Yes.
On the,
as yes. long as he wants to play by the rules, how can you not? I mean, the guy's
really
an incredible talent. But, you know, like, I'll make a case for the Moss detractors in that last game on the penalty and the pass interference. He gave up after
that
play.
That.
And he had a chance to catch that ball.
He did give up.
If he was playing for the Pats, he probably would have caught it.
I like how you put that spin on that. Well done. But I think he gave up on that.
He did,
felt,
definitely.
But I don't think it was a mental give up as much as a physical. I think he felt himself getting pulled down. And was like, okay, this is a penalty I'm giving up because I was taken out of the play. Then looks up, and he's probably thinking, oh, crap, I wasn't as far out of the play as I thought that was is going to be misrepresented a little bit. And Childress was mad about it. He mentioned it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But he was probably looking for Brandon Merriweather.
Yeah.
That's the first time ever Merriweather made a nice play by bouncing off a guy.
Boy, what's his name?
Hey, I also want to say this.
32 made a hell of an interception there when the guy caught it and he ripped it out of his hand.
Yeah. And I think the play he made in the end zone was even better, you know, where he broke up that play.
I think the defense, you know, they give out the big plays in the third downs, but inside the goals, the red zone, they're pretty good.
And third down was better against the Vikings. It was 3 of 11, 4 of 11. I mean, they're getting better. They were up like 60% early in the year. They're down.
4 of 11.
Yeah, that number is coming down. And those are the keys. Red zone, goal line, third down. You can give up yards. You can do different things. But if you can start to improve a little bit in those categories, you get to be the bend but don't break.
It's funny because I grew up in Maine all my life, and I just moved down here to Florida, and there's so many Patriot haters down here. It's not even funny, and I try to tell them, you know, that's the way you should play football. But
that's right. They don't listen. They don't listen.
They're still stuck on the Spygate or whatever that is.
Yeah, screw.
But you guys have a good day. Thanks for my call.
All right. See you
okay, Chris from Florida, right, calling in. Hey guys, and bonjour, Eric. This is from
Uma?
Derek from the University of Arizona. Crazy weekend in the NFL. Probably the most hectic and drama-filled I have seen a season in the past 10 years. I am not sure the Patriots can win in peace. It seems every week there is more and more headline news. Anyway, I have a few questions for you guys. One, earlier in the season, we said that if running backs were getting 15 carries, Fred Taylor should be getting 10 and Ben Jarvis should be getting 5, not the other way around. If Fred is healthy now, do we split carries different? No, if Fred Taylor's healthy, he gets the carries.
That's how I would feel.
Yeah.
I mean, let's but he hasn't not been forget
right.
that
that's a big if.
2 weeks in a row and through the first half of this last game, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis was averaging somewhere below 2 yards a carry. He was like 10 for 20, 10 for 20, and then
four for four.
I mean, he was in 1 point something per carry range for basically two games is 10 quarters of football. Then he had a nice second half, and then Paul said, essentially had a nice fourth quarter and a nice drive.
I think he had 24 yards in the third quarter, something like that. I forget exactly how much. He had a 10-yard run, and then the last drive of the third quarter was after the interception. He had two good runs on.
He's a nice little player. Taylor's more talented. Taylor's better. When healthy. The trouble is that when healthy is rarely. Drop your cookie home and keep talking. You look like you're a lot in your mouth over there.
The other question that Derek has is, Brady said on EEI that the two quarterback sneaks were not meant to score near the goal line. They were meant to waste time. Do you guys buy that?
Yes, because that's what exactly it looked like.
Yeah.
The only problem I have is, isn't that putting a lot of emphasis in that third down play?
Yeah,
Bad coaching. I do think that he's telling the truth.
No, I do too. There was no doubt in my mind.
It looked that way.
Looked like they were setting up a field goal.
Quarterback sneaks don't generally work against a stack front like that.
When you're running sideways. He didn't actually go forward.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good sneaker. He's a pretty good QB guy.
I do think they did that on purpose, and I think it was bad all the way around. I have a question for you, and Bill was asked this yesterday.
Aren't you only up six, and the Vikings are getting the ball
back?
Would
you have kicked a field goal on fourth down, or would you have gone for it? Bill said it would have depended on what the result of the third down play was.
Well, you got stuffed.
No, but do you lose 3 yards?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know. But what if you just get
stuffed? They scored on
normal.
Third down.
Or incomplete.
I would have gone for it.
I think I would have, too.
And I would have said if they don't get it, then the other team has to go, 70 yards to kick a field goal to tie the game.
Yeah, because probably. You're right. Because I was thinking you kick the field goal. Now you're kicking off up six.
And you can lose.
Easily. You could lose when Percy Harvin returns the kickoff. You can lose on a big Tavares Jackson scrambles 35 yards.
It's the age-old thing, and I know people get made fun of it a lot because there are people that think like me that get made fun of for this, but I'd rather be up three than four.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'd rather, to me, if I'm up three, the worst that happens is overtime. If I'm up four, the worst that happens is I lose, down the stretch like that. Because if the other team has to go for a touchdown, they have four downs, not three.
Wait, what? If you're up three, the worst thing can happen, it's overtime?
Well, because teams
play for a field goal.
Teams play for the field goal more often than not.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you can lose in overtime, no question. But I think when teams only need a field goal, like San Diego 2 weeks ago, they play for a field goal. Fourth and two right there, would you have felt really good about coming up with a stop? No, they kicked a field goal and they missed the field goal.
Four, this may be idiotic, but can Gerard Mayo be a playmaker just by making tackles? He's everywhere in the field and is leading the NFL in tackles. I guess he could just be qualified as a tackling machine, but just curious what you guys think on this. Well, the thing about Mayo this year, he is making plays. He's recovered a fumble. He's forced a fumble. He's made plays in the backfield. You know, making tackles when you're doing it in the backfield, that's more than just making a play.
That's making a play.
How
many times has he done it?
I don't recall.
Several times.
I thought he had one of his better games Sunday. I thought he made some plays at or around the line of scrimmage Sunday.
He's not a stiff.
Haven't seen a lot of those.
He's been Pro Bowl play.
He's going to go to the Pro Bowl because he's going to have 200 tackles.
And his reputation is
I think he and Will
very Fork positive right
should
now.
Go together as Pro Bowl and All Pros.
Whoa. Did you just say all pro?
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely. This year, they're playing
It like Paul where you can be third team all pro and you're still an all pro?
No. They don't have three teams.
No.
I know.
Gerard
Mayo
is not an all pro.
This year he is.
No, he isn't.
Finally, I don't know if I want Moss back or not. I can honestly say whatever Bill decides to do, I'm cool with.
Oh, grow a pair.
And Bill we trust.
Grow a pair.
What was that, Kevin?
Kraft and Mayo go together.
There you go. They certainly did before the game.
What?
They certainly did before the game. A lot of time spent between the owner and Randy Moss before the game.
What does that have to do with Mayo?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Just check him.
That's how my mind works.
How's Culpepper and Shanahan?
How does your mind work?
I don't know.
What connected Moss and Mayo?
The letter M.
Today's show brought to you by the letter M. Mildly retarded.
Steve in Albany, New York. What if Moss and or his agent let the teams know that if they pick him up, he will show up but be non-productive? We have all seen how he could have scored for Minnesota but decided not to. Then he praised New England. If they know he will not work for them, will anybody pay the $3 million? Then, if he gets through the waiver wire without being picked up, do you think New England could get Moss on his bet? We talked about that already.
So. We should make everybody who sends an email in from now on say, yes or no, I'd take him. None of this, whatever Bill decides is fine. You're not Wes Welker. You don't have to say that.
Right.
Have an opinion.
Even I say, I wouldn't take him.
I'd take him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty concerned.
And I like Randy Moss.
I didn't want him, no matter what.
I like Randy Moss. But
I
don't love him.
I loved what he
him.
Did. The Randy Moss, I've said a million times, the Randy Moss experiment was a wild success. I've moved on. I didn't want to re-sign him.
Right.
Before he ever said anything against Cincinnati,
right.
I had no interest in re-signing him. I think he was a declining player. And in addition to that, he's obviously a declining player with a big, influential mouth.
But maybe he's better now. That snapped him out of it. That experience, returning here, the
no
place.
Thanks. I don't want maybes to disrupt the apple cart.
Well, you need to know. I mean, you'd have to sit down with him. And Bill maybe already has. If he stayed in New England, who knows?
Chris in Stamford, Connecticut. Hi, guy, and whoever's not there right now.
Eric.
Two things on the TV broadcast that you guys might have missed. In terms of the Brandon Tate bobble catch that should have been an interception, on the TV it looked like the ball hit the ground at first, but on replay what looked like the ball was actually Tate's gloved hand hitting the ground to break his ball.
That flash.
Maybe that influenced Childress, who seemed to be watching the replay on the big screen. Second,
cut off.
After Myron Pryor smacked Favre, the announcer with Tony Aikman asked Troy, he said Troy, I said Tony. He asked.
Wait, whoa, you screwed that up?
Yes, I did. I read Tony.
So, even though it says Troy?
It says Troy. The announcer with Troy Aikman asked him, Troy, over the years, you've taken it on the chin a lot. What's that like?
Wow.
Yeah, can we rip Favre a little? We haven't done that.
Huh?
Can we rip him? He got carted off like he was dying to get 10 stitches in his chin. No concussion.
I know.
He practiced yesterday. He was on the field. And yet, you would have thought he was shot.
Yeah.
That he was dying, losing blood.
I thought he was unconscious. They were holding his head up on the...
I thought he shattered his jaw. I thought they were holding
the piece together.
They were going to go wire him shut to hold it together.
Right. He got a boo-boo.
10 minutes later, I'm listening to him doing a post-game press conference. There was no blood left. They put a couple stitches and one of those little strips on, and he looked fine. That's embarrassing. I thought he was supposed to be a gunslinging, gamer, tough guy. I mean, that was a joke.
I agree.
But we did get to see Tavares Jackson flash some talent.
Oh, boy. You're an embarrassment.
I stick with my guys to a fault, Paul. I'm loyal.
Aaron from Sterling. Hey, man of PFW, great job covering everything today. So much going on. Phil, You've been doing a great job these past weeks, and I find myself agreeing with your occasional comments. Your intelligent zings are a nice counterbalance of what Andy brings.
When was the last time he had any zing, never mind an intelligent one?
Oh, plus we don't have anyone named Phil here, so that's, you know.
Phil Collins.
I know. Anyway, I missed the first 15 minutes of the show, so I'm not sure if you mentioned this. There is a report
Moss
went bonkers at a team lunch and made all sorts of insults about the food in front of the owners that provide the meal. And yes, we did talk about that. I got to be honest, says Aaron, if that's a true story, I don't want that guy on the Pats. I can put up with him being a nut job in interviews, being a diva on the field, but don't take shots at people like that and have some manners. I guess this is the straw that breaks the camel's back for me. Crazy, but I always thought Moss was a good guy at heart, but this makes me question that. I was always taught you never turn down free food. Ever.
This show is the latest example of that.
You know, needless to say, criticize it, but you don't even turn it down.
Especially having not tasted it. Basically, there was a big thing of pasta, chicken, and a couple others in front of him, and he, by looking at it, could tell it was dog food. It was Alpo.
Right.
How? How does a big thing of pasta look that bad if you've never tried it?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'd be glad to have it here on PFW.
Yes.
Oh, well, absolutely.
That mom and pop, they should prove something to us by sending us a whole spread.
Yes.
Nice-looking spread.
But I just think...
Nice spread.
Were you not paying attention to the things that he did when he was in New England? You know, like having his headphones on at a kickoff gala.
Right.
This is the thing. You know, it's like...
The food must have been better here, Paul.
No, but I think it's reprehensible the way he behaved with that food spread, but that's the thing that is the final straw, the straw that broke the camel's back. We can't have him back because he insulted the food spread from some mom-and-pop store. I mean, the fact that he turned his back on Robert Kraft at the kickoff gala, that wasn't enough for you? The fact that all he ever talks about is himself? That's what I don't get.
Their quarterback does that, too.
That's what I don't understand. Why it took what's so bad about this particular thing in the long list of stuff that he's done, even since he's been here?
You got what he is, and yet you cut him because of what he is, even though you traded a third-round pick he is.
They want good people who are good football players, and he just didn't fit. That's what Childress said. And I respect him for that.
See, you I don't.
I don't respect him at all for his coaching.
So why didn't he sit?
Ironically, I don't
know what he was getting. Favre down? He should have benched his ass.
Did Favre lay down on the team?
No, but for other reasons.
No, he laid down on a cart and asked him to take him off in a cart.
Did Favre lay down on the team?
See, Favre is an egomaniac. He's all about himself.
There's some tight pants you got on.
I'm not defending him. I'm just
Paul's
saying,
upset about the drop-ins.
Well, you know, one was enough. Three? Okay. I forget what I was going
right.
to say now.
Move on.
Keep those drop-ins ready. Next time there's a terrible argument, just three in a row, and it makes Paul shut up.
Now Christian with a TIAN's on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing. What happened to you last time?
I lost the connection. I'm sorry. I'm on my cell.
Your boss came around the corner, didn't
she? So it wasn't my fault.
No, the boss came, and he had to put the phone down real quick.
Yeah, you're right. It was my boss. You got me, Andy. No, I did. The call just dropped off. Sorry about that.
Okay, before you say whatever you want to say, you have to answer today, yes or no, you take him back.
No.
Okay, proceed.
I was mad when they traded him, and now I don't want him back, if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
Okay. I'm with Paul. I think the offense is going to get better.
Get better.
Or get worse. For what he has. So
I think it will improve. What I disagree with Fred is I don't think it's been very good. I think
it needs
to improve.
It's been tough moving the ball. They've had tough times. These guys don't have space. Welker hasn't had space. Hernandez came wide open the other day, obviously, in one play, but it's, you don't see the open space in the field that you did before.
Yep.
If that's accurate. I mean, at least that's how it looks to me. But my head's spinning. I mean, what a past couple of days. I mean, it's just the game itself and then everything else that followed. What a goal line stand, too. That was awesome in the first half.
That was a great play. And you know what was best about that play, Fred? Vince Wilfork was not involved. That's the best part
Ron
of that
Brace.
Play.
Ron Brace, I think,
Ron
was
Brace,
the key to that
Rob
play.
Ninkovich. You had young up-and-comers involved.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that was huge. And it's just, McCourty, too, should have probably had two picks. I think the first one hit him right in the chest when he was going down the sideline. I think it was Hovin he was covering.
Yeah, that was. I was much more impressed with that play than anything else.
Yeah.
I thought that was great coverage. That was the first shot that Minnesota took in the game.
Yep.
And he was right there ready for it. He was stride for stride with a very tough receiver. It's one of those things. I think he struggled Sunday, McCourty, with Harvin. I think he had a hard time. But he makes plays, and he's tough. He's a tough player. That's what I like about him.
Well, I think one thing that stood out too, Paul, in relation to being tough, a thing that kind of impressed me over the past 3-4 game stretches defense is their toughness. They just, you know, they get that mean, snarl, tough look to them. The goal line stand, like I said, you know, Baltimore, I think there was they had a third and short, a fourth and short there too, where they stopped them.
They had a third and short earlier in the game against
Minnesota.
Against the Vikings.
The first possession was third and one from about midfield. They stopped them and they punted, and then of course they closed the first half. And then second half they had a fourth in inches and they didn't go for it.
Right.
And I think that was part of it.
Yeah. Was it the third quarter? Probably like halfway through. Right. They punted.
And ended the game in my mind.
And it's so funny that it's so many different guys. We were talking about this on our TV show. The defensive line, if you just start there, Pryor plays, Brace is inactive. You know, they've moved through so many. Brandon Dedrick's now started a few games, but they rotate those bodies through. They rotate Wilfork left, right, middle. There's so many guys and so many roles there up front, and they're starting to seemingly get it.
Yeah, and the pieces, you know, guys like Ninkovich, like you said, Cunningham moving all around too.
I think Cunningham's been phenomenal. Of the last month, not in the pass rush, but just playing solid edge defense. You know, I think he's got pushed around a little bit at times, but far better than he was early in the year when I thought he didn't look like he really understood what his role was, what the job was of setting the edge. I think he has now said, you know what, I'm going to sell out and try to set the edge. That's going to be my focus.
I haven't noticed him as much.
Oh, see, I think he's been a good physical player on the edge there. And, you know, I'll take that. If that's what you get from him this year and the pass rush is a little slower to develop, I'll take that first.
I'm curious to see, because NFL Network usually replays the games, and I know they're playing the Pats game. I think it's tomorrow. I think it's tonight, actually.
Yeah.
It'll be on.
Yeah,
I'm curious. I'll watch for that, too, so I'm curious. But I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on, this is a pretty high question, I think, but who on the team has been your biggest surprise, offense or defense? Who's the guy that you, like, look at and say, wow, I didn't expect that from him?
On offense and defense?
Yeah, either one. I mean,
offense, mine is kind of a trick question because he wasn't there, but Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a trick question.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But it's even fair to say after they got him, you didn't expect
him.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I didn't think he would be able to do much of anything.
Right.
That's a good one.
Defense?
I mean,
you might have to go Ninkovich.
I asked myself the same question, and I couldn't come up with one. I don't know.
I'd probably go Ninkovich, because I've always really loved him, but I always kind of thought he was a backup special teamer, fill-in type guy.
Now he looks
like he's not out of place as a starting outside linebacker for a defense that's playing well enough right now. So I'm going Ninkovich.
Okay.
And he made a couple nice breaks on passes, too, and pass coverage, not just the interception, but after that, I'm going Ninkovich. He's a good little player.
Okay.
And all right, guys, I just wanted to mention, too, love the Foghorn.
All right,
yes.
Christian.
PFW Foghorn, taking over the world.
Matt from Quincy, hey, guys, in light of the Vikings releasing Moss, it's interesting watching the video of Moss interacting with various members of the Pats after the game. If you watch specifically when Moss chats with both Belichick and Brady, he seems to be saying something serious to each one of them, judging by the looks on their faces as Moss is talking. Am I reading too much into body language, or is it possible Moss had an idea of what was going to happen and was passing along to Brady and Belichick that he would be available soon?
I think that's it, actually.
I think he was saying how much he appreciated them, blah, 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 and, you know, so you're looking at him seriously and taking it in. I don't think it was anything more than that. For the record, I don't want Moss back. I've seen the movie already, and I know how it ends. The team is moving in the right direction. We've purged almost all the a-holes. Only Merriweather's left on this team, and there's no reason to go backward. That's not fair to Brandon Merriweather.
I think it is, but
why is he an
a-hole? I want to say one thing about Brandon Merriweather. He had a pass defense this week, even though it didn't count because there was a rough in the passer on Gary Guyton.
He's going to be
fine. He deflected a pass this week.
Weren't they 3-1 when Moss was
traded?
Wasn't that after the Dolphins game?
Yes, they were 3-1. They're 3-0 without him.
So I know how the movie ended. Yeah, you were 3-1. You were well on your way to a 6-1 start.
He's talking about with Moss specifically.
There were no problems.
There's always problems at the end. You know, Moss dictates.
What were the problems?
Moss dictates the end.
So, Andy,
of all
you're trying
of these
to tell me
situations.
That they traded him for absolutely no reason.
That's what I'm telling you. It's
that's
business
what you're trying
only.
To tell
oh,
me. We're
going
to re-sign him. They
Andy,
gave him the opportunity
on.
To go elsewhere to find some place where he so can re-sign.
So now
we're into Florent. I can never say philanthropy.
Philanthropy.
I can't say that word.
They got a third round pick for him. I don't consider that philanthropy.
We're helping him out. Oh, so that's worth it for a guy who's
and I.
Who's as good as you say he is.
At his age and
yeah.
the money and everything?
Third round
yeah,
pick
oh, yeah.
is, that's.
I don't think that
that's
was.
Think, that's value.
Yeah, I think
you.
It was.
So we traded him so he can make catches for no reason
no, I think
other
you traded
than to get a third round pick.
You
we needed one.
You knew his
we
focus
needed a third
was
round
contract
pick.
And he might become a problem.
Okay.
But I don't think there were problems.
Okay.
And now I think his focus is.
Now the
oh my
problems
God.
Are gone.
Yeah, I think
he's
they
not
are.
Focused on
think,
his contract anymore.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's focused on getting back to
happiness. So when he comes here and catches 10 passes in the next month. Like he did in the like he did in the first
I think
month.
He'll be fine.
He'll
think,
be okay this time.
Yes, I think he's an emotional wreck
right now. You
have a lot
more
right
faith
now.
Than I do.
I think he's an emotional wreck.
I agree
he
with
may
that.
Have bottomed out.
I agree
and
with
realized,
that.
Realized, oh my God, I've screwed my entire life up. I think he may have bottomed out.
All I think he's thinking about is my entire life is my next contract.
See, I'm not so sure.
And he can't get that.
I think he's now willing to say, I'll take 6 months of happiness and go from there. I'm already miserable. I'd rather be happy for a little while. We'll see what happens after that.
So he wasn't happy before, but he'll be happy now.
Yes, he. Sometimes you don't know what you've
I mean,
got till
no,
it's gone.
I, look,
you
I can
don't
understand
know what
why Andy might think that, and I can understand why I would hope that and think that, and why fans...
And why but, you'll be saying that if we sign him?
No, but I can
see,
understand that.
See, that's the difference
that.
Between you and I.
No, but I can understand that. Like, okay, he's come to Jesus. He's understood what he did. He had. Now he wants it
right.
back. And but can you guarantee that?
No.
You
that's
know?
Why I can cut him anytime I want.
Yeah, but...
There's no guarantee involved. I pay him a game check.
I just think you're fiddling with it too much.
Yeah, I don't care about. I don't care about the money at all.
Don't tell me that wasn't intentional.
There's no cap. I don't care about the money right now.
You've already recouped some of the money because you didn't have to pay him for a month.
I care about him disrupting the way things are going.
Sven from Augsburg,
11
Germany.
Yards on offense. Got to keep that rolling.
Did you hear that? Augsburg, Germany? That's
yeah, a 13-3 lead.
Sven, I've been listening to your show for 3 years now, and I'm writing in for the second time. I know that probably everybody wants to talk about Randy Moss, but I recently found an interesting article about Sean Merriman and his release from the Chargers. The article said that a few teams might have interest in signing him, including the Patriots. Do you think it may be possible he really signs with New England? Supposedly he's going to get a physical soon and a conditioning test, and if he passes it, they're going to release him. They have to. That's coming up like this week, I think.
The waiver wire has taken a turn for the better over the course of the last week, where you know all pro type players.
As I said in the past, there's always
guys
available later in the season.
You were right,
I gotta give it to him.
5 years later,
all
you were
Famers
right.
now available on the waiver wire.
and by the way, it is after June 1st.
That's true.
That's right.
I got a little frog in my throat.
And the Vikings actually cut him because they were in cap hell and had to get out.
Right. In an
no
uncapped
cap.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took you 5 years, Freddie. But you're right.
I'm always right.
Count me in the same category for Merriman as I am. With Moss.
Don't
you know
want.
What?
No, thanks.
I'm jumping ship on that. I've said they need more bodies. Apparently, they don't need more bodies. They're all going to stay healthy, and they're all playing at an okay level. I don't want Merriman. I'll take Moss, though.
Connor from Ireland writes in,
although
I know today's show will be dominated by the talk of Randy Moss, but I have to get something off my chest. The past few weeks, I have noticed something. I hate the Foxborough crowd. I don't know why, but we are the most boring fans in the NFL. The stadium was so quiet at times when the offense was on the field, you could hear a pin drop.
Freddie was upset about that.
Freddie was yelling
it's
at the
so
crowd.
It's so frustrating because I, along with thousands upon thousands of other fans, would love to be there to encourage our team.
Back that statement up, Fred. Did he just say, or she, whoever wrote this email, say that when the offense was
well,
on the
I
field,
think he
you
meant when the
Vikings' drop.
Offense was on the field.
It's a very quiet crowd.
Are you trying to tell me the crowd wasn't quiet this weekend?
It wasn't awful.
It's a very quiet crowd.
It's
either that or they've made the glass thicker in the press box because...
And when you're in the nosebleeds, it's different. When you're standing on the field, it's not
I'm just telling you that compared to... We're basically in the same vantage point in every stadium we go. It's far louder in almost every other place that we go to than it is here.
I'm not disagreeing.
So it's not about being in the 300 level or whatever.
Have you gone on the road
yet,
Kevin?
We're always up
there. No. You got...
Tell Doc,
I gotta
tell
Doc
to
take
you
on the road, just so you can see
what entertainment is.
Well, no, not that.
Fred, I'll come help you. I'll transcribe all the post.
What's
games
another?
And
what's
everything.
A good game? Maybe Detroit. You don't want? Oh, that's
Kansas City.
I would.
Did
go.
You hear that? Hire the boy.
I already told you this.
What did he say he'd do?
He said I'll transcribe everything post game.
I'll do it. I swear to God, if it gets me out of here.
He already wants out. I was right. Thank you. Andy wins.
No, I just
thank
mean
you.
Out of, I just mean out of the office.
No, you meant out of here.
No,
less than a season. I was correct.
No,
thank
you said 11 months. I'm already on month four.
You
I'm
and Randy Moss.
Along.
And you just said, quote, anything that gets me out of here.
He meant the office.
The office.
Yeah. No, you didn't. You want out of here.
No, I don't.
You're like Randy Moss, and you'll regret it when you come crawling back like he is.
let's see.
As you say that with a huge,
just
so
you know
what
they say,
grin on your
if
face.
If they say yes or no, would you take Kevin Collins back? I'm going to go no.
All right.
All right.
Come on.
Though Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Jonathan writes in. He says, John writing from St. Paul, Minnesota. I have a buddy who got a scoop on who provided the infamous catering
nice.
For the Vikings on Friday when Moss complained about the food. It was a relative of Matt Burks. The Ravens offensive lineman.
It was Matt Burke's favorite restaurant.
And
no,
former
I know,
Harvard
but,
standout,
but
the family.
That's messed up.
Burke is from St. Paul, owns a local restaurant, apparently.
What's it called? I need the name.
I don't know.
I read that in the story, too.
Need the name so we can suck up to it to get free food in?
Yeah, send an
so
order for
they deliver halfway across the country.
It'd be funny if it's called Burke's.
They probably would have been quicker getting it here than Grande has been the last couple times.
Though. Oh, I'm not okay with ripping Grande, so I am jumping ship from you.
Grande.
I think they do
grande,
a grand
grande,
A type job. Their cookies are phenomenal, the subs are tremendous, and their customer service is the best.
Everything but the cookies.
You just hate vegetables. God forbid you get some antioxidants in your diet. I think those aren't cranberries.
Even you guys have been saying that it's taking long to get
cranberry
here. Like you're
fruit?
On the verge of passing out.
Isn't a cranberry?
I order
fruit?
It. They say like 30
you
minutes.
You call it a vegetable.
Oh, I meant fruit.
It's plus, fruit. Plus, I don't need the fruit with my cookies.
No, my son's
they say
a fruit.
30 minutes and it's an hour every time.
Yeah.
That's why.
Freddie, we had an incident on Halloween.
Freddie, what happened,
Freddie,
Paul?
Freddie.
Incident at the Perillo house?
I punched an old lady.
Yeah. No, I was here with you guys. You know that. But my two sons were all set to go out trick-or-treating.
More F-bombs.
The young one. Young one had a tough day.
Yeah.
Gave my wife a hard time. And
wait a minute.
To the point where she did not take him out trick-or-treating. She took him to my sister-in-law's house. He sat with her while my wife took Will out trick-or-treating.
Wow.
It got to the point where my little one actually kicked Beth in the face.
What is it with the Perillo men and women?
Yeah, they only beat up women.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't know TJ then, because there's no one that TJ can't handle.
It's not about being able to handle, it's about controlling yourself.
I'm pretty sure TJ could handle Randy Moss right now, that little baby.
Wow.
He'd smack him into shape.
Now, did he jump up, or why was your wife's...
Was it like Mesco on our cover?
He was not listening. He was just not doing what he was told. How the kick actually took place, I don't know. I was here.
Because that's high if he could get up that. That's
no,
relatively
it wasn't
impressive.
Like, it wasn't like that.
She was probably in his face, and he was on the couch.
Right.
And I've done that.
Matter of fact, I think he was I think that
I hit my
he
mother
was on
with a
the
wiffle
bed,
ball that once.
And she put him down on the bed and made him like go to his room.
And he flailed.
And he put her. Yeah, and he put her. I think she picked him up, put him down on the bed, and he kicked up at her face. And she said, well, you're not going trick-or-treating tonight.
No.
And he didn't. And my next-door neighbor, the guy across the big Niners fan, I always
you
tell
bring
you
him
about,
some candy anyway?
Well, this is what he comes over yesterday. He rings the bell. He goes, listen, TJ didn't make it over. I said, and Rick, there was a reason for that. He comes in with a big thing of candy.
I'll
for
teach
TJ.
Him his lesson.
I go, what are you doing? He's the big Niners fan, Rick, guy across the street.
Hey, big win.
He's the one that hates you because you picked the Niners to win the Super Bowl. You gave him a mush.
Buddy writes in... He says he's from Cleveland. He says we have a party scheduled for Cleveland on Saturday night at the House of Q's, C-U-E-S, must be a billiard parlor, at 740 Superior.
Nothing gets by you.
In the downtown area. We'd love to extend invitations to Pats fans and the staff of PFW. $15 per person, all you can eat, fajitas, tacos, chicken wings, mozzarella sticks, and a cash bar.
Cash bar?
Yeah.
You almost had me.
Yeah.
Andy.
Yes.
Remember our buddy, Buddy, from the Rhode Island radio?
Yes.
And you know him from Dartmouth?
Yes.
Is he still living here, or is he in Cleveland?
I believe so.
Because that's the name. Buddy sent that email.
I wonder if he still lives here.
Maybe he's going
his
to this game
to my
and
daycare.
Organizing something, maybe? Or it's a different guy of that name. But
anyway.
It's not Joe Smith.
you know, if we get more info as it goes along, buddy, but let us know how many people you're expecting. So it's Q's.
CUE.
740 Superior Street,
Billiard
downtown.
Hall.
You know,
that place, the House of Blues, I think they play blues music there.
508-543-7482.
I just almost made a mistake.
Is the
by
A-Stick at
doing what I do. When things rhyme, you can't continue to go down. I was going to say something inappropriate.
Lucky from Springfield's on the line. Hey, Lucky.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Lucky.
I'm all right. I've been busy, as you know, with the program, but the season is over, so I get the rest. Now.
How'd you guys do?
Our team, only went 2-5, but yeah. I was just happy that
time we time to make changes.
Coaching. We had a program.
You got to get new coordinators.
Right about that. Then maybe I could just take a break and just run the program and not have to worry about coaching.
Oh. Would you bring Moss onto your team?
Would I? Of course.
Oh, okay.
Would you bring like that? Are you crazy?
Nah, it got cold. He wouldn't help you.
Huh?
It's cold now. He wouldn't help you.
He would help me somewhat.
He'll help
one
you
one way or another.
He helped Percy Harvin.
The difference is,
he'd help you with fundraising.
I mean, a grown man with kids. I just jack them up if they get out of line.
That's assault, brother.
Hey, most parents already know it when they come there. I tell them that's the first thing. I let them know. The kids get out of line, I will jack them up, and I will let them know that I did it.
You've been warned.
They don't have a problem with it. Actually, most of them encourage it.
Good.
So that's good. And I wanted to personally thank you, Fred, for all the help you've done.
No problem. You can thank the crafts, too. It's all because of them. So.
Yeah. We greatly appreciate it.
Yep.
We used every bit of help we could get, and we were successful in having the season, and it looks like we're going to have one next year. So
great.
We're doing pretty good.
Nice.
So it seems like the waiver wire and all this. Every time I turn around, it's something else with the Patriots, which is always a good thing because I follow my team regardless of the situation. But I'm pretty happy where we stand right now.
Yeah.
Best team in the NFL is not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And as long as they continually get better, I'm good. Even though I tell you, watching some of these games, boy. A brother can have a heart attack, and I'm too young to have a heart attack.
Yeah, it's not exactly the days of, the first quarter's over, it's 21-0, let's go get something to eat, and we know how it's going to end.
No, not at all. But, hey, I mean, as long as we win, we're fine. But I tell you what, if you would hear me, and I'm usually in my basement watching a game, and I'm pretty sure my neighbors could hear me sometime yelling at the TV, just like, you know, get off the field and all that other stuff. But they're doing pretty good, and they're getting better, so I can't ask for more.
It's pretty much what Fred yells up in the press box when he's sitting next to us.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the real writers down below can hear it.
Man, the real.
All right, Lucky.
What happened to Lucky? He's gone.
Nice job.
Well, Lucky. That was Kevin, not us.
Did we lose the cell?
Something happy. Just Kevin faded out there.
That's the second time that's happened.
Kevin blew him up.
We're having some issues there. It's not Kevin's fault.
Never is.
Doug writes
in. Back.
Did I press any button right there? Did you see me do anything?
No, you probably should have.
Doug from France writes in, watching the Jets game and listening to Tony Aikman and company rave. Now, in his case, he wrote T-O-N-U. So Tony Aikman and company rave. I mean rave about Rex's decision to go for it on 4th-and-18 in the first quarter on their side of the field drove me nuts. And after they didn't make it, Phil continued to say, what a great move it was, and how clearly it was a statement of his confidence in his big D. His call just gave Green Bay their game-winning points. Contrast to the hammering Belichick got for his 4th-and-1 calls, how could you argue there was more chance of success with less risk of failure in Rex's gamble than Belichick's? I hate Rex, so perhaps my glasses have a little tint.
You think?
I also have to say I understand why minus Moss is a team plus, but I still like... I don't think he meant minus. It's just a little dash there. I understand why Moss is a team plus, but I still like Randy and feel sorry he doesn't get it. It's like the fabulously beautiful lady who can't stay with one man and who eventually ends up depressed and suicidal like Marilyn Monroe. Okay.
Those Rex glasses might have a little tint to them. You think? You're comparing a fake punt call on the second possession of the game in the first quarter of a scoreless game to
going forward on 4th-and-18.
That was the fake punt. It was. On 4th and 18.
Oh, was it? Was that the fake punt?
Because I
to go
picked
on,
up the
to
highlight.
To go on for 4th and 2 from your own 28 with a 6-point lead
I watched
in
the
game
punter,
in the last 2 minutes.
And he had a big gain, and you're like, where are the sticks? How far was because he's running. Now he's running, and you still can't see the first down mark.
I will say I disagree. With you don't fake a punt on 4th and 18.
But it was not.
From deep in your own end.
The same thing. As
but in the first quarter of a scoreless game, that's not a game
late
deciding.
Late in the fourth quarter on the decision. Road, you're leading. Totally different situation.
And evidently, that was not Rex's call. Evidently, the punter has the green light on those. Now, ultimately, I guess it's Rex's call.
That right there is Rex's
light.
Call and a major problem with that
but,
team.
But I like...
he has the green light to fake a punt anytime he wants.
I like the talk about this. They're saying, I think it was NFL Network I listened to yesterday for a little bit. Someone said, you know, that's really a bad play by Rex Ryan. You can't... He goes, punters, I mean, let's face it, they're not really football players. He probably had no idea it was 4th and 18. He just went out there and said, geez, that whole side looks open. I'm going. and again.
Wait a minute, the punter has the green light?
That's what they were saying. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah. I'm comfortable saying the Jets won't live up to their hype.
Well, you know what?
That's a little thing, but that, why does the punter have a green light?
I don't think that's a little
thing. No, but I
think
like,
it's a big
it
thing.
May never affect him again. He may have learned whatever, but those are the types of things. I just can't picture Bill saying, Zoltan, you have the green light. Whenever you want to fake it, just go. Like,
right.
What?
Right.
Yeah, it was strange. And he went for a fourth down in the fourth quarter.
And
that
it's fourth and 18.
That I disagreed
and
with,
And he's
too.
15 yards deep. So he's got to run 33 yards. He decided I can get 33 yards on this?
That's like giving Rich Gedman the green light on the base pass.
And I don't
Gedman.
33 yards, a third of a field?
Yeah, I don't know why.
We know who Rich Gedman is.
Oh, I didn't know you were.
It wasn't funny.
I
actually kind of liked him. Not as much as I liked Marty Barrett.
I hated Rich Gedman. Ugh.
You hate everybody and everything.
Yeah.
He couldn't
Unless
play.
Unless they played at Northeastern, you don't like
he
them.
He couldn't play.
Anybody
That's why
the,
I didn't like him.
And
I liked Marty
you
Barrett.
You got to understand, anybody
Screw
who the fans
Let's
like
some football.
And who isn't like of the caliber of Randy Moss,
so
Paul
wait a minute. So now you're saying Rich Gedman was a guy the fans liked? Rich Gedman was universally despised.
Fans liked Rich Gedman.
He was despised.
Getty.
He hit like 200 one year.
Getty.
They hated him.
He just yells Getty like that's an argument.
God, Getty. That's what Marty Barrett.
I'm getting that from the fans. That's what they, Getty.
Now, Marty Barrett, he's a
tremendous,
fan favorite.
Tremendous.
I liked Marty
The railroaded by the medical staff.
I agree.
Marcos in Argentina,
Hall
count me among the ones who would welcome Moss back on a low money deal if he clears waivers. I don't know if he'll be okay with his role in the offense, but the reward still outweighs the risk. You can't argue that the offense is better without him, and worst case scenario, if he snaps again, you cut him. Besides, if Bill can trade a guy for a third round pick only to get him back in after 4 weeks, you can put him in Canton tomorrow.
Oh, he did trade a fourth to get the replacement, let's not forget, to get Branch.
Yeah.
It's not quite the stealing, everybody. I think you overpaid to get Deion Branch, personally.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Rob writes in, first I have to say the show with just Fred and Paul was great. The only ones I don't like are the two-man shows, including Captain Creative. That's with a K. I was at the game, and what a great game. The broken play pass was one of the better long passes I've seen Tom throw. At times, both the offense and defense surged and sputtered, but we got the job done once again. I was disappointed in the booing when Moss got his catch and the cheering when Favre appeared to be seriously hurt. Most importantly, the Halloween cheerleaders looked great in the high-def screens.
They did. It was one that looked like she was ready to pop out.
How many of you thought we'd be alone at number one spot at this point?
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them and have a party.
Just me.
Yeah, you didn't.
Certainly not me.
I don't know
And
what...
Fred actually doesn't have us atop the NFL right now, which
yeah,
is
Yeah, Fred's
weird.
Not buying it.
He's got
Fred's
the Steelers
not buying.
As the best team in football.
This is like Bizarro Show again.
It really is.
Indy and Paul are buying, Fred not buying.
I don't know what to say about Moss. It seems crazy for them to let him go like that so quickly. Can you speculate on what happened behind the scenes?
Well, it's becoming less speculative and more about what was happening behind the scenes. And apparently this meal thing, Friday afternoon meal thing, ripping a mom and pop had to do with it.
Performance. And he you know.
Has done nothing.
What he did after that game was treasonous. You just don't do that.
I agree.
I don't care how much he praised the Patriots. That was great.
But
was
I think if he
treasonous.
Was playing well. Sure. If instead of one catch for 8 yards, he had eight catches for 110 and two touchdowns and said the same thing.
But he wouldn't have been saying that.
But if he said the same
thing,
he'd still be on the Vikings.
Yeah.
To me, you can put all of this other stuff. Andy said it perfectly. You knew what you were getting. When you trade for him, you know he's going to do something stupid.
How can you cut him when he does it?
Because he wasn't playing well. That's what this is all about. He did not have the impact they were hoping for. They rolled the dice, and he didn't do it.
See, I think he did have a positive impact. I think he had
I'm not saying he had no impact.
To me, Percy Harvin was very – and Brett Favre brought it up. He said flat out, having a lot of success right now because Moss is on the field.
But
he
I'm not saying he had no impact. I'm saying his impact wasn't what they had hoped. They thought they could bring him –
So you're
their
ending
offense.
The season.
But at 2-5, it's basically over. Yeah, he's hurting you. He's hurt. He's not helping any, really. He's not helping you win games.
Who made this decision?
I think Childress made it. I mean, based on what we know.
It's a terrible decision then.
Ziggy is upset about it.
No, but they have a GM too, Rick Spielman.
Yeah, but not really. They don't really have that power. Yeah. Chris? Yeah, it's Rick. Okay. They don't really have that power structure. I heard that guy from Minnesota today, Sulhan.
So Childress made this decision to end the season, essentially, in my opinion.
No, I think that they just wanted to get rid of this guy because he's causing problems.
My point would be,
if Childress is
going to get fired,
yeah,
and
he's gone.
You have no chance of saving your job without Randy Moss.
See, but
if he gets hot, you have a chance.
See, I think he knows he's, no matter what happens, he's done. And he's saying to himself, if I'm going out, I'm going to go out on my terms. I'm not going to have this guy bringing me down.
Yeah, because he's a man of principle.
While picking up Brett Favre off the airplane and sucking
his toes on the way back to the facility.
We can get back to the Favre thing if you want, but I find Brett Favre in a lot of ways reprehensible. But what I could never say about Brett Favre is that he doesn't give you 100% when he's actually on the field.
That may be true.
And Randy Moss often doesn't give you 100% when he's on the field. He didn't last year for the Patriots, and he certainly didn't Sunday for the Vikings. Are you going to try to tell me Kyle Arrington is capable of doing that to Randy Moss?
Well, part of it is this whole thing where quarterbacks refuse to throw to him. Part of what made Brady great in 2007 is he never refused to throw to him. As much as people want to say he forced it now, he forced more throws that year into double and triple coverage to Randy Moss than I think I've seen since. And what happened? A lot of them ended up in catches in the end zone.
I know.
Randy Moss ended with 23 and ended with 50. Brett Favre was talking about it post-game. You know, they cover too deep, and you know they got a guy over the top, so I got to look elsewhere, and I got to find Harvin underneath.
But do you think that if he was playing
so the quarterback
as hard
is giving
could,
up just as much as Moss is?
Do you think if he was playing as hard as he could on most every snap, that he wouldn't have been more available than to get the ball thrown to him twice?
I don't know. I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know whether he gives up and the quarterback says, okay, he's giving up, or if the quarterback says, there's a safety over the top, it's a dumb play, I'm not going to do it.
Now, I'm not going to necessarily argue with Favre because he found Harvin wide open a lot.
Right.
Harvin ended up with 6 catches for 104 yards. He was targeted 8 times. One of those times that he didn't catch, he dropped and resulted into
an interception, a complete giveaway.
So clearly, every time we looked at Harvin, Harvin was open.
Right.
Now,
he says it's because of Moss.
Yeah,
his words.
I know, and that's what the Patriots said too. Before, you know, they decided, even though he's getting everybody open for us, we're going to trade him anyway, because Bill is in the business of, you know, trading away, you know, high commodities that are
good.
I haven't
seen those guys open since.
Good pull.
Thank you, Fred.
Rob in Marlboro also says, "What does Favre have more of, stitches or inches?" From the photos, Yanny was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world, I don't try to see... to the contrary.
I couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. If they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
It's such a passionate
Aaron Andrews,
protest, though. I know that he wants to see
I like breasts. See, I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though, because I can't believe the amount of people that tell you in detail Greg Oden, Brett Favre, that Shanko thing. I've never seen any of those.
The only one I've ever seen is Tommy Lee, and that's because Pam was in the video.
Exactly. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Why would you want to do that if you're
a
guy?
Did you see that one, Fred?
No, I didn't even.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that too,
but that was in Fred's office.
I don't get that.
When
I don't
I
know why you would want to see
that. He was just
that.
Watching it. And by the way, there was also a very,
Fred's
very hot woman in that one. This one offers me no opportunity to see a hot woman. It's just Brett Favre's junk. At least all these other ones, they had women.
Gordon in Des Moines says, I don't want Moss back. I'm disappointed the saga surrounding Moss is taking away from the progress of the defense. I remember all the concerns at the beginning of the season concerning the defense and looking at our schedule and trying to figure out games we would win and lose. After the fourth and one stop at the end of the first half, I was so stoked. I wanted to see our defense on the field for the rest of the game. I think we knew this.
You pretty much got your wish.
I think we knew this defense has potential, but didn't think they would show the promise this soon in the season. Glad you guys could start with an argument on today's show.
We argued early?
I think we got a little bit.
Well, I mean, we argued that you would take Moss back, and Fred and I don't want him. I suppose that's an argument.
And we argued Paul and Andy saying the Patriots are the best team in football.
Fred saying no, they're not.
I really don't get you.
James, Pittsburgh.
But you know what it is, Fred? In a lot of ways, Fred's consistent. And I joked around with Fred about this morning.
No, you're not. No.
You guys are knee-jerk.
No, Fred's big thing, and he always falls back.
And I'm jerk?
He always falls back on, you know, you don't know your schedule until the season's over.
Yep.
You know, you don't know how good your schedule. Well, Fred evidently is saying they're 6-1, but they haven't played anybody because
I haven't said that.
The Patriots have only beaten one.
Haven't said
they only played. They played two teams out of their seven teams. They've played two teams with a winning record, and they're 1-1 in those two games.
I know.
So obviously you don't buy it. Personally, I don't care what teams' records are. I use my eyes to see the amount of talent that a team has. Minnesota's a good football team, even though they're 2-5. San Diego, they're a talented football team, even though they're three and five.
You know, Minnesota's got a pretty good defense. You go, well, they're not that good.
Well, I think offensively is what they have.
They're not that good.
You also said one of the best.
Minnesota's defense is not that good. They have a good front four, which, by the way, hasn't played well this year.
Their resume is good. Their performance in 2010, not
great. It's so funny. When I say a team's good, Paul, that's not good. But now I'm saying that they haven't played any good teams.
Fred, Jared Allen used to roll out of bed and get 14 and a half sacks. He has one.
I just need you to
stop for a second. Stop.
It's
time to go. You say all the time.
It's two?
Well, yeah, it is two.
You say all the time that you can't judge a team's record because you don't know what they're going to be.
I said strength of schedule.
And I'm telling you, the Patriots have played a very difficult schedule so far.
And when I say that, you say, no, they're not that good.
You don't believe it.
It's a bad time for these to break out.
If I say it.
I'm just trying to point out the reason why you might not think the Patriots are the best team.
We could just go another 2 hours. Let's go.
This is why you don't think the Patriots are a good team. And Andy and I think they're the first in the NFL.
You know, the great thing about this show is that we have very, very smart listeners, and so they know what the truth is.
And
I don't even have to defend myself.
Right. This is the truth.
I don't even have to defend myself.
When something is applicable to the Patriots.
What? Say what?
Something is applicable to the Patriots, you don't buy it.
What's in that Diet Coke there, Paul? You're getting drunk.
That's
chokes
the on the
have L. Have you been drinking the scotch from the UK fans?
But the scotch.
The other great thing about this show is you can tell it's unscripted because no scripted show would start a stupid fight when you're supposed to be signing
off.
I didn't know what time it was
because the stupid clock is down.
That's what I'm saying. If we were scripted, we would say, oh, the D block. We can't break into one of our fights because we're going off the air.
All right, so here's we got to get going.
That doesn't sound like the same horn that you play on the thing. That's a cheap, fake one.
Well, it's the same horn.
Very tinny.
Yeah,
it doesn't have the depth. The one in the stadium's good. Got good depth.
It's not on 2,000 distributed
now,
speakers.
Now, I did see online people wondering how come the Patriots have stolen the Bruins scoring horn.
Everybody does that. The Bruins stole it from
Including
Montreal.
The Patriots now for the first time.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Yeah, we used to steal nothing because we had nothing.
That was a hockey thing long before the Bruins started using
it. Let's do that. Steal that, too. What is that, Brass
it's
Bonanza?
Brass Bonanza.
Let's get that out there.
All right.
Let's just
steal
everything.
That used to be the Hartford Whalers theme song.
How about we steal, the Saints and Dolphins song? The New England Patriots.
Now, Kevin, listen to me. I don't want to get you in trouble or anything, but do you have something to do at 2 o'clock? Do you have something to do now? Because I'm happy with you staying on air and reading the rest of these emails. There's a million emails we didn't get to.
We'll get deer in headlights. Look.
But I don't want
you. He wants this opportunity.
I don't want.
He's not sure he's ready for it.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. That's the. I don't know.
I'll tell Doc that I told you to do it.
Okay.
You know, and so you can stay on the air, talk, you know, people want to call in.
I could read some emails.
You can read some emails. You can keep it going because Rook is traveling. So
we
don't have
for a little bit. I don't really want to just throw him to the wolves.
All right, Andy will stay with you.
I got to ask you.
No, I know.
Andy will stay with you.
We're
just
going to leave the poor
now,
guy.
But I don't want people to forget that at 4 o'clock is the Pete Shepherd Show.
Right.
And if there's anyone that's going to be in – you know, seventh heaven, it's going to be Pete Shepherd.
And I guarantee he has the Patriots number one in his power.
Oh, well,
and I can also guarantee he's laughing about Randy Moss because he never really wanted him here.
That's true.
He was an anti-Moss guy who had to be convinced into being
even
a Moss
Belichick
guy.
Said to him, he said, give him a chance,
right.
Pete. Yeah.
So he's enjoying this Moss burning out, and he won't want him back. I can guarantee it.
Right. So so Andy and Kevin will stay on air. This is like, you know, we're during a crisis where, you know, we're going to stay on the air. You know, we won't leave you. We'll try to keep you up to date.
It was kind of funny.
It was like that one time I was on with Felger, and that guy flew his plane into the Yankees guy flew his plane into a building.
Corey Lytle.
And I'm, like, breaking down small engines and stuff on airplanes. Like,
you were probably laughing.
No, hey, I wasn't laughing.
You were.
But I was laughing that I was literally talking about a baseball player who died crashing a small engine plane and speculating, now, do those have parachutes? Do they not have parachutes? Like,
that's what happens.
That's why that radio station went out of business.
All right. So that's it for our show. PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow. We've got still much more to talk about. Kevin and Andy will stay on the air. A lot of emails we didn't get
to. The AK-47 show.
We'll get to those. If you guys want to call in, the phone lines, we have a line open.
Yeah, but how's he?
At 543-7482. He can do it.
He has a computer.
He barely does it when...
No, I can do it from back here. Okay.
And don't forget, 4 o'clock, the Pete Shepherd Show. It's going to be a wild one. We'll see you tomorrow.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.